NFL Draft 2021. And welcome back, everyone. It is episode number 122 of Thirst and Goal. My name is Franny. Across the table from me is Ben in his t-shirt on this hot, hot night.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We're still in the 80 degree zone out here in Southern California. Finally, summer is here.
And we are a show. I forgot to mention that we are a show about NFL football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. Subscribe and you'll get everything you need to know about the NFL and become a whiskey and beer expert like us. Subscribe at our website, thirstandgoal.buzzsprout.com. But Ben, today was about 100 degrees outside. We are wearing our t-shirts. It is not even May. And the heat wave is on in Southern California, but it feels good to be out here finally. We're not wearing our sweaters. We're not wearing our jackets. You're not wearing your beanie. I mean, we're just, it's summer weather already.
Can you believe it? And I'm really excited about that. It was a little bit, not chilly, but I was getting tired, you know, working from home of having to wear a sweatshirt and wool socks and slippers every day. Now it's flip-flops from the get-go. Franny, how was your week this week?
It was a good week, Ben. I mean, the week flew by. It was a crazy one, though. It was a crazy week for me, Ben.
Yes, we have. What are you drinking? And then we'll get to your announcement.
Yeah. Well, I am drinking a little bit of a. It's actually a rye. It was the Rod and Hammer's Slow Stills Straight Rye Whiskey. It's a delicious rye on its own, but I mixed a little bit of Coke and a little bit of. Actually, I put a little bit of water in there. The club soda wasn't on the table. I didn't feel like opening up a small club soda just to, like, you know, waste a few drops of the club soda. There's no reason to do that. So, you know, just a little bit of water right there, just lighten it up just a little bit.
Yeah. What about you, Ben? That 8-ounce bottle of club soda is very, very expensive. I am drinking the Dutch Courage. It's a beautiful dry gin from Holland. It's a great, great summer gin. Fits perfectly with the weather tonight. Just the correct amount of spice, just the correct amount of botanicals for a nice warm weather cocktail. I've got tonight I've got a little lemon, a little tonic, and two sprigs of rosemary in there.
Very nice.
But we
Ben.
Got some interesting news today from Thirst and Goal podcast or from one of your hosts of Thirst and Goal podcast. Franny, what happened to you today?
Well, Ben, I am getting a new townhome.
This is a momentous occasion. Yeah, it's full home purchase.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I can't believe it, actually. I didn't expect to get the place. You know, my offer was probably a little bit lower than everybody else's, but my agent, she was somehow able to get it done, and we got the deal done, and we get to escrow on Monday, and I got butterflies in my stomach. I am nervous as shit, but it's a happy nervousness. Actually, so I mean, I'm almost speechless, and I'm shocked that I was even able to get this place, because I'm sure there's other people that probably bid more for the place. But Ben, I can't wait to have you over.
I can't wait to leave your sink full of dishes at your house.
Nah, you're gonna put them in the dishwasher, Ben. Nah, no, but I can't wait to have you over. But the podcast is an outdoor podcast. We do this podcast outdoors where football should be played and podcasts should be recorded. I have two balconies, but it's not as large as your huge backyard.
Yeah, your
backyard,
neighbors,
Ben.
Would love us.
Yeah, I know. Just yelling out there at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Item number one at the HOA meeting for this month is whatever the unit number is.
Yeah, exactly.
Franny's unit excessive noise complaint every Saturday night, although we're coming to you on a Friday night. But Franny, I could not be more excited for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it is nothing is more American than having a 30-year commitment to your home in California, especially folks. I'm sure some of you are aware, but the home values, the home prices out here are a little bit ridiculous.
Well, they're skyrocketing. I mean, you know, just in the past year, they've gone up almost 20%. So, I mean, you know, it's great to land a place right now because I don't even know where this market is headed. I mean, you get multiple offers on something that doesn't even have pictures out there. There's many stories out there where people don't even post pictures of their place, and yet people already bidding on it to try to get a place. There's, you know, not much inventory out there, and so whatever is out there, people are willing to bid.
Yeah, California, or especially Los Angeles, they do a very, very good job or very, very bad job, depending on your perspective, at controlling the supply of available condos, townhomes, and actual single family homes mm-hmm. that are for sale at any given time. There is always more demand than there is supply. But at least it does bode well for increases in value for a purchased property.
Yeah.
But we can't wait to go over there and party at Frane's house.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch the Super Bowl at Frane's house, or maybe a playoff game at Frane's house.
Maybe a playoff game, Ben. Maybe He's like, game.
No, I don't want anybody in my house.
Hey, your TV is way too big to not watch a Super Bowl on your TV, just like we watched it this past
year. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. All right, Frane, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Tonight, Ben, on the big board, we have the draft, of course, which I didn't pay too much attention to because my mind was elsewhere. So we got the draft. Ben, I'm sure you're going to have more news and more to talk about than I do myself. We also have a shout out to our new and loyal listeners out there. We have our feel-good story as well. And I'm not sure what the feel-good story is right now, Ben, but the running back that you guys picked up in the draft, very feel-good.
Oh,
yeah. Partying.
Should not have been available.
At the shelter that he was there in 2010. And, you know, I mean, he seems like a high character guy.
Oh, for sure.
And not only a good running back, but a high character guy.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that'll be a feel-good story in the future. And we also have our stat of the week, making its return for the second week in a row. The first week it wasn't available. Second week, which was last week, we talked about who has the prettiest deep ball or the most efficient deep ball in the league. And for some reason, it's Dak Prescott. I still do not believe it, but it was. That's I guess.
Maybe not this year because it was defense
right?
for the Cowboys in this draft.
And we also have my shot of the week. And we'll give... Sonia came up with a shot name for it. I can't remember. I think it's something with... it's Schnapp the Ball.
All right.
It's Schnapp the Ball. It's made with peach schnapps.
I like
it. Pretty fancy, huh? Yeah, pretty clever. And we also have our beverage of the week. We have the Aran Malt Lucranza Reserve. It's the entry level for the Aran line. Or is it the Aaron or the Aran?
Aran, I'm not sure. Probably Aran.
Hey, Aran. Yeah, it's the Aran line.
It's the Aran line.
It's the Aran line.
It's a beautiful golden hue.
Can you guys not read?
It's light.
It's fucking right there, right in front of you.
It's fucking light. It's very light. It's robust in flavor and light in color. Don't you know that?
I'm not sure what accent that was.
Definitely not Scottish.
And then we have our beer of the week from Avery Brewing. And it is a goose. It's a goose.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce that one.
El Ghost. But it is a sour ale, Ben. We've become huge fans of sour ales recently in the past few weeks, so I can't wait to try that as well. And we have housekeeping
looks good.
To finish up the show. Yeah, it looks really good.
All right, Franny, what's first up on the big board?
First up on the big board, Ben, our NFL news, and it's draft.
Can you believe that we are finally at the NFL draft after all of the drama in the offseason? The trades, the quarterbacks on the move, the disgruntled quarterbacks that we will definitely get to later on the show. Franny's favorite quarterback is in the corner. He took his toys and he wants to go home. But first up, we have the NFL draft. So we'll just get you through the first and second round. We'll probably touch a little bit on the third round, but otherwise we will be here as long as the draft took the night or last night. Started late, finished late. I don't know why they have 10 minutes on the clock
between
rounds. They started it late. I understand that it's exciting for the guys that get drafted. It's exciting for some folks, but they really got to do a better job of making this more interactive for the fans. I mean, commercial after commercial after commercial after commercial, and it's just too long between the picks.
Yeah, I don't understand why they just drag it out.
Three and a half hours for 32 picks.
And it's boring.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, the setup, yes. I mean, it was just boring. I didn't watch too much of the draft, but it was just boring. I liked, was it in Vegas or what? I mean, at least have a better...
Oh, I think it was, it was New Orleans.
Oh, just have
where they had it all. I can't remember where that was, but it was all outside.
I don't just have a nice setting for it, you know? I mean, just like, I think when they had in Philly, like a few years ago, like they had the crowd outdoors and everything. I mean, it was just...
That's what it was,
It was
Philly.
More of a spectacle. This was just sort of inside of... I don't know, like a concert hall looking.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was kind of
beautiful downtown Cleveland, Ohio.
Exactly. And so yeah, it was kind of boring. I mean, obviously, I'm sure COVID had something to do with it, but still, it's boring.
It was boring. I mean, I'd like to say it was exciting. The exciting part is who was drafted and by who.
Exactly.
But the event itself, they really should probably do this like on a Sunday and get through all seven rounds on the same day. Do you really need 10 minutes to get, there's eight guys sitting in the draft room. Do you really need 10 minutes to get through those? And whatever it is today, I think it was, I don't know, 7 minutes today or 4 minutes, whatever it is.
I mean, if you don't know who you want, then you shouldn't even be there.
Exactly.
You know, everybody knows who the fuck they want already.
Yeah, not everybody can
be
John Gruden,
didn't you?
Yeah, not everybody can be John Gruden just drafting out of left field.
Yeah, I'm not like a lot of people get excited about the draft. I don't get that excited about the draft
only because the Eagles are very
because the Eagles suck at drafting anybody.
Yeah, I was looking at the Buccaneers last 2 years' drafts. Oh my God, they are stacked. They are stacked, and they got another quarterback this year.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But first up. Jacksonville Jaguars would pick number one, obviously took Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson.
No, I can't miss.
Generational talent.
I mean, that's what they probably said about Goff when he was selected by the Rams.
But, you know, I like Lawrence. He's got all the tools. He's mobile. He's got great arm strength. He's got great vision down the field. He gets through his reads quickly. So he does have all the tools.
He looks like an ugly woman.
Exactly. But he hasn't gotten to the NFL yet. So we will see how that goes. But that was a foregone conclusion going into the draft, as was pick number two, the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, take Zach Wilson at a B. BYU, Steve Young's alma mater. What do you think about Zach Wilson going to the Jets?
I don't know, the Jets fans, optimistic, man.
Always excited at the draft because that's the only excitement they get all year.
I give them credit for being excited, but they were excited a few years ago,
too. This was the highlight of the Jets season today.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
They were excited a few years ago as well. I mean, you know, it's there are certain places that a quarterback goes and their career just dies. And going to the Jets is one of those places. I'm sure we'll talk about Chicago's pick in a little bit, too. But the same sort of scenario, it's where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope this is the one. I mean, I, you know, they got a good offensive line over there. They have to work on the running game a little bit, but they have a decent O-line. And, you know, I'm going to hold out hope.
You
like
can't
I
get
do
much
every
worse.
Year
you can't get
Jets.
Much worse.
Yeah, exactly. They are picking number two. I'm going to hold out hope that this will be the year that the Jets turn it around.
They could have been number one if they didn't try to win another game.
If they didn't win that game. But Zach Wilson, again, he also has all the tools. He's a little short. But he has all the tools that you need. He's mobile. He gets through his reads quickly as well. Needs to work on his accuracy just a tad. I mean, I know he looked great on his pro day, but I have concerns about his accuracy a little bit. And next up, at number three, the San Francisco 49ers. Looking to make a trade for Aaron today, but it didn't happen. They took Trey Lance, quarterback, out of North Dakota State. Was Carson, did he go to North Dakota or North Dakota State?
I think it was North Dakota State.
QB out of North Dakota State.
Overrated. Yeah. Those quarterbacks, overrated. Their careers are very short.
But, you know, I think the Niners were going to take whatever quarterback was available right there or whatever quarterback.
Was it worth trading up, though?
Jimmy GQ. Word on the street is that they were going to go for Mac Jones or someone like that at that pick there, but they went for Trey Lance instead. Again, all the tools, very mobile, reads the field really, really well.
Accuracy issues.
You know, accuracy issues, a little bit of polish probably needed with him as well as Zach Wilson.
But I think he's undefeated in his college career.
Yeah, but it's...
I mean, they don't play
too
many difficult
It's an interesting pick, though, for the Niners to take Trey Lance there. I mean, I almost would have punted on that pick if I were the Niners, either traded back or potentially taken a position player there, because I'm not sure that they need Trey Lance as badly as they need a Trevor Lawrence or someone of that stature, allegedly. But we don't know. But as we said at the beginning of the night, who knows? Trey Lance may be the best of all the quarterbacks taken either in round one or round two. We just don't know until they hit the field in the NFL.
Exactly.
But interesting pick for the Niners. Jimmy G probably on his way out.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a huge fan of the draft, is because, I mean, everybody gets so excited about these draft picks, and you just don't know how their talent is going to be on the field in the NFL.
When they're
up against these professionals in college, you know, if you have a great offensive line, you look superb. But how does that translate when you get into the NFL? Maybe your offensive line is not that great, and you have to deal with these defensive ends who run faster than anybody you've ever seen
in
your career.
Exactly. But, you know, if I were the Niners, I would put Trey Lance out there week one.
No.
Because he's already better than Jimmy Garoppolo, in my opinion.
Oh.
I would send him out there in week one. Shanahan has already said that he will not hesitate to start him in week one if he competes during training camp better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And everyone that listens to the show knows I'm not a huge fan of Jimmy Garoppolo. So I would put Trey Lance out there week one. In that division, you need to be competitive, and I'd rather be as competitive as possible with my rookie quarterback and see what I can get out of him all year long, because you're competing against Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray.
I want to put that fire under
Jimmy
GQ's butt.
So Jimmy G is not in that category.
I want to put that fire under GQ's butt and see how he performs when he knows that there's a rookie quarterback right behind him that can take his place. I would start Jimmy GQ and see how he performs. If he struggles, man, Trey Lance, next man up.
Yeah, or he could react like Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, or Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers. He could always go that route with his reaction. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons take Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. Huge tight end, can do everything, can block, can catch. He's just a beast all over the field. This is an amazing, great pick for the Atlanta Falcons at number four, because the three teams that picked ahead of them needed quarterbacks. Anything to say about the Atlanta Falcons? Your Matt Ryan and Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they needed help in that position. They got him. And, you know, the Atlanta Falcons have, they've struggled mightily these last few years. I don't even know what's up with that team. I mean, they have the talent there as it is. And for some reason, they just can't get it rolling. I mean, after that Super Bowl loss, they just can't turn things around. I don't, that's, you know, a tight end is not going to help.
And Julio Jones on the trade block, allegedly.
Ooh, yeah.
Next up, Cincinnati Bengals take Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. Mm-hmm. Big, strong receiver out of LSU.
I like those big, strong receivers.
Unfortunately, they're going into my division with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I think this is a nice pick for the Bengals. What do you think?
You know, it's another target for Joe Burrow. I mean, you have a nice young quarterback. You know, he probably would have been rookie of the year if he was able to play the entire season, not taking anything away from Herbert. But, you know, a nice target out there. I mean, if you're not going to go, you know, offensive line, you go with wide receiver to help out your new quarterback.
For sure. And actually, a lot of wide receivers went way earlier than I expected in this draft. Number six, Miami Dolphins take Jalen Waddle, wide receiver out of Alabama. First receiver taken out of Alabama in this draft. Again, this came in that Philadelphia, Miami. This was your pick.
Is Alabama a good team, Ben?
Yeah, Alabama was a pretty good team. But this was your pick.
It's like Alabama,
Friday.
Alabama, Alabama. Alabama.
Yeah, it's like out of the last, 20 years, like the top, whatever it is, the total players taken, it's SEC, SEC,
yeah,
SEC,
yeah,
SEC,
exactly.
SEC. But this was the trade that they made with you guys.
Every single year. Yeah, yeah.
But that's, again, another nice pick. Mm-hmm. Number seven.
And we'll see how that, I don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. I don't know if Tua is the long-term quarterback with the Dolphins.
Yes, all signs point to no.
Yeah, exactly.
Number seven, the Detroit Lions getting a little bit of protection for their new
slower
stud quarterback, Jared Goff. Go with a tackle out of Oregon, Penei Sewell. Very, very, very good tackle out of Oregon.
That's a smart pick. That's definitely a smart pick. You have Goff, who's not a very mobile quarterback. You get an offensive tackle in there to help out, bolster that offensive line. That's a smart pick for them.
Yeah, and by all accounts, the best tackle in this year's draft by a long way. Number eight, the Carolina Panthers take J.C. Horn, quarterback out of South Carolina. Another nice pick down there in Carolina. They're trying to build that team on the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball. Got Sam Darnold down there. I probably would have taken an offensive tackle or a guard there. But what do you think about the Panthers taking a cornerback or a quarterback at number eight?
I don't think it's going to make much of a difference in that division. But, you know, they're building up the team. I mean, cornerbacks are hard to find in this league. It's obvious that cornerbacks, it's hard to find a good one. And so you have to go and find one early in the draft if you want one of the best. And, it's great to grab a cornerback, but I don't think it really does much for their chances in that division this year.
Unless you're the Steelers and you just let them all walk.
Yeah.
number nine, the Broncos take Pat Surtain, the second cornerback out of Alabama. So cornerback right there. What do you think about the Broncos taking a corner?
They need a lot of things.
Yeah. They need a new general manager and executive vice president.
And a quarterback.
And a
quarterback. I think that's the most important thing that they need right now. There was some talk today.
There's some talk today that the Denver Broncos are in the mix, or the primary candidate, although I can't wait to talk about that later because I'm looking to take a shot, so I'll have to figure out a way to work in something negative about my division into that conversation. But number 10, the number 10, the Eagles.
Yep.
Your team, Franny.
Went from
Devonta Smith
to 10.
By some people's accounts, Franny, the best receiver coming out of this draft. A little smaller. Reminds me a little bit of some smaller receivers that are really, really good. but you know,
the Eagles love those small receivers.
A little bit of Stephon Diggs in him, maybe.
You know, Fulgham better. I mean, he's our biggest receiver right now. Fulgham is our biggest receiver, and you know, I like big, strong receivers. I don't care how fast they are. I just like those big, strong receivers that can go up and get the ball. Devontae Smith. It's a great pick, but.
I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm a football player.
I don't know. I'm very pessimistic of what, any Eagles.
Because you left Justin Jefferson sitting on, you know, just to take whoever you took last year.
Yeah,
Arcega Whiteside, or was it or was it Jalen Reagor?
Arcega Whiteside.
That was a year before.
Yeah,
right?
You took
Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Eagles make a lot of bad wide receiver decisions, and it's pretty obvious we have one of the worst receiving corps in the league. I mean, hopefully Devontae Smith works out, but I'm just, you know, I until he takes the field and I see this guy catching the ball and you know. Catching, you know, 1,200 yards worth of, you know, of 1,200 yards worth of what catches, whatever.
Passing yards?
Passing. I mean, like, my head
receiving
is,
yards?
Yeah, my head is not in the game right now.
Yeah, my head is 30 years of payments.
It's an escrow mode.
It's an escrow
right now, because I know that starts Monday, and my head is not in the game at the moment.
But I like to pick. I might have went with a running back here, if I were the Eagles.
The Eagles don't need a running back.
No, they need a stud running back.
Miles Sanders is a stud. I love Miles Sanders.
But Jalen Hurts needs some help. And
there's help right
that's
there.
That's why I didn't expect the Eagles to go defense on this pick.
Yeah.
Next up. Oh, here we go. Gets interesting. Number 11, the Chicago Bears take Justin Fields out of Ohio State. What do you think about Justin Fields, much like Zach Wilson, getting stuck with a team where quarterbacks go to die?
Yeah. I mean, they have not had a good quarterback ever.
Not since the 50s. Not since the 50s, unless you count Jim McMahon, not since the 50s.
Long time. And, you know, I wish Justin Fields all the best. I mean, nobody expected him to fall to number 11. He was expected to be taken maybe,
earlier.
Yeah, maybe.
His stock fell a little bit.
You know, they were thinking maybe the Niners would take Justin Fields, but he fell down to number 11. Chicago Bears do need a quarterback, and they got him, but I'm not very high on Chicago quarterbacks. They just haven't performed very well. If he went to any other team, I'd be happy with that. But with Chicago, any quarterback that they take goes there, and their career just completely falls apart.
Yeah, they're going to have to get a lot more talent around him. They do lack, you know, in terms of talent on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they've got some decent receiving, but they're going to have to do a better job, especially in Chicago, in terms of free agent signings and drafting. They just don't have a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. Next up, Mekhi Parsons. Micah Parsons. Yeah, this is where...
Actually, Mekhi Pfeiffer.
You should actually do the names. I'm terrible with names.
And
Micah,
too.
Micah Parsons, Dallas Cowboys linebacker, big, strong, fast linebacker out of Penn State. I like this pick
and
for the Cowboys.
It was an interesting trade in the draft. I mean, between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I mean, the Eagles and the Cowboys never trade picks. I think this might be the first time in history.
And yesterday. The trade came in yesterday.
So you know what? I think I should take a shot.
All right, let's do it.
I think I should take a shot. I appreciate the move. Thank
you. It'll calm your brain a little bit, get you out of escrow mode and into NFL mode.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, like my mind is, I mean, I know I'm on the podcast right now. I'm not completely here.
I'm out of my body.
But it's an outer body experience.
But those of you out there that have made a purchase of this size will know what he's going through.
Yeah. When those dollar bills start rolling around in your head, that's the only thing you see. I'm excited, but then it's like nervous excited.
And it's not like a student loan, right, where you sort of accumulate it over time and you don't realize how big it is until the end?
Yeah, but the thing with
this
student loans...
This happens all at once.
Student loans, I mean, the interest rate on student loans is terrible. At least my interest rate is pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. It's crazy low. Crazy low. All right.
Cheers to you,
In
Ben.
Honor this of the Cowboys is... and the Steelers, or the Cowboys and the Eagles, why are we doing... I cut you off.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is our punishment shot. Sort of a punishment shot. You know, we signed that contract in blood many years ago. If you say anything negative about a team in your division, Ben, which is the AFC
North,
or if I say anything negative about a team in my division, which is the NFC East, or if Sonya, who's on the podcast, I'm not sure when she'll join us eventually in the future, maybe if she says anything negative about a team in her division, which is the NFC West, then she takes a shot. But, you know, this is sort of a positive shot. It was a nice trade between the two teams.
An odd one, but a nice one.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You jumped ahead of them to get the receiver.
We got what they wanted. They jumped ahead of us last year to get what they wanted. And you know what? Thank you, Cowboys. I'm actually saying thank you to the Cowboys in trading up and getting a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Although it's not the wide receiver that I would have picked, but, you know, hopefully it works out.
Yeah, because the Cowboys had no interest in offense in the first three rounds.
Well, their offense is fine.
Yeah, let's do it.
And this is the Jim Beam vanilla. We also have the Jim Beam orange
that
on the table
terrible.
As well. I just want to try that Jim Beam vanilla.
That is terrible.
And it's actually not. It's not
terrible.
It's not terrible. That's not terrible.
Oh, it's not ideal. It's got that. Actually, it's not bad, but the aftertaste is bad.
Actually, the aftertaste is better. Like the initial swig, like it went down a little harsh.
Well, are you a hobo on a train in the 40s?
Yeah.
You're looking for a swig? Are you looking for a swig of the old granddad?
It's in a paper bag, actually. It's in a paper bag.
Pass me the old Fitzgerald, would you, Henry?
Jim Beam. Pass me the Jim Beam regular.
No, you can't afford Jim Beam if you're riding the rails.
It's $11.99 or $10.99.
No, you're riding the rails. You're looking at just a brown label.
You got the moonshine?
A brown label with a name on
it. I see the triple X on there. You got that some of that triple X stuff?
Yeah, That's not the best. It's better than the orange, I think.
It's better than the orange. It's still not spectacular though. Good for the Cowboys. I mean, they do need to work on their, I mean, hey, they allowed us to trade up. All right,
man, you definitely could not have lived in New York with me. It doesn't matter what Boston does. I still hate Boston.
You're much easier on the teams in your division than I am on the teams in my division.
Well, yeah, cause I don't have a real right. Like I'm from New York, Boston. Like you'll never hear me say anything nice about the Red Sox.
Well,
they could trade us their whole entire pitching staff.
So sometimes, you know, you just have to come together.
No. Johnny Damon never should have played for the New York Yankees. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, with all the Cowboys fans out here, it's like a love-hate relationship. You know, we respect the hate for each other, but we respect the love for our teams, too. You know, you love your team, I love my team, we hate each other, but there's respect found right there in the middle.
Fair enough. Next up, your LA Chargers. They need it. They took Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, a big tackle, coming in to help protect Justin Herbert, and God knows he can use it. He was slapped around pretty good last year in his freshman campaign with the Chargers. I like this pick.
Oh, that's a great pick. That's a great pick. For Herbert, you got to protect, you know, your brand new quarterback. He is going to be spectacular in this league in his first season. What, he threw 30 touchdowns in his first rookie, his rookie campaign, 30 touchdowns. It's the most I think a rookie has ever thrown. Yeah.
And he wasn't particularly the coaching staff wasn't particularly good either.
I mean, they have themselves a good quarterback, and that's great. You got to bolster that offensive line and protect your investment.
Yeah, we could have two contenders here in LA pretty soon playing in that giant expensive stadium down there. Next up, New York Jets. I'm going to butcher this. Elijah Vera Tucker. God, this is pathetic. I'm tired. Today was a work day, but up since about 5, so cut me some slack.
I woke up at like 6:45 this morning. It's a Friday. This is an early podcast. Yeah. We usually do this on Saturdays where we're both at home.
Get a little bit more sleep.
Maybe take a nap throughout the day. But today it was work and then straight to the podcast.
Elijah Vera Tucker, guard out of USC. I like this pick for the Jets. Yeah, they need a guard. They got to protect.
Elijah.
Elijah. It's time for dinner, Elijah. Yeah, I butchered that name. Sorry, Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah. Yeah, he's one of the biblical characters
He's from Eastern Europe. I don't know.
Elijah Vera Tucker.
But I like this pick. They produce some decent offensive linemen in USC. Mm-hmm. I like that pick for the Jets. Got to protect Zach Wilson. Got to. And this year's Tom Brady photograph candidate for the draft.
This dude looks fat. He looks out of shape.
The New England Patriots draft Opie from that picture was ridiculous.
I mean, he needs
a bra. They take Mac Jones out of Alabama.
He needs a bra.
But that picture, he looked like he was on his way to his junior high school trip.
He has absolutely no muscles in anywhere. I was going to say in his arms, anywhere.
Either he was chubby or he has muscles in his abs only.
He doesn't have any muscles in his abs either, unless they're like hidden under a lot of fat.
But they're going to be, but just like the last quarterback, they'll be showing this picture for the, you know, as they're winning their 12th championship.
Mac Man Boob Jones.
That picture was bad, though. That was bad.
It's pretty embarrassing, man. You're a professional athlete. Yeah.
And that was without the giant boxers and the slouched shoulders like Tom Brady had. That was him.
Yeah. I didn't know that a quarterback could look that way. With all the pads off,
like Devontae Smith says, I'm a football player, not a bodybuilder.
Well, he's built, Mac Jones is not built.
But what do you think about Mac Jones going to the Patriots at number?
Yeah, it's a good pick for them. It's a good pick 15. For them. You know, they don't know what to expect from Cam Newton.
I know what to expect from Cam Newton.
I expect Cam Newton to start the season. I don't expect him to finish the season. I think they want to see what they have in Mac Jones.
Yeah, and I think they'll roll him out there.
They will. I think they will.
I mean, I mean, Bill Belichick has proven that it does take near mountain for him to bench his quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady, the way he looked in his photo too, like his draft day photo. I mean, he looked a little more.
Mac Jones is more fleet of foot though, for sure.
Is he really?
Oh yeah, he's definitely faster. Yeah, Tom Brady,
everybody's 40 faster.
40 time was like 6 seconds. Or
everybody
something.
Is faster than Tom Brady.
He's still running his 40.
Yeah,
he's still running out his 40.
Almost
from
there.
20 years ago.
Almost there. Wait, just one more second. One more second.
But I think by all accounts they were gonna pull the trigger.
He's got a 21 year 40.
21 year 40 time and 7 championships. It is 7, right? He's got 7. That was the 7th, right?
Let's just count the 8th one. Should we just count the 8th one this year?
I mean, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are having a breakdown over it. Next up at 16, Zaven Collins
from Latvia
goes to the Cardinals. I think that's a nice pick for the Cardinals. They definitely need a little help on their defense. But this was a strange pick coming in at number 17, LA Raiders.
Do you know how to pronounce this name?
Alex, see, this is every name should be like this. Alex Leatherwood.
It's Alix Leather.
Alix? Alix. Yeah, so this is Alix Leatherwood. Yeah, Alex Leatherwood, tackle out of Alabama. This guy, no offense to Mr. Leatherwood, but was expected to go much, much, much later in the draft. This one came out a little bit out of left field for the Raiders, although they have been known to do this. They took Cleveland Farrell last year a little bit earlier than they should have as well. But we'll see. John Gruden stockpiling picks, making bad picks, making strange picks. This is what he does.
Yeah.
Next, 18, Dolphins take.
That's my take on that one. Yeah. That's right. What you said, Ben.
Do you have anything to add?
I really don't have anything to add. But like, that's that.
And the Dolphins take Jalen.
Like I said, I didn't pay too much attention to the draft. Beyond, like, other than, you know, the Steelers pick that's coming up, I really didn't pay too much attention to that.
I mean, we sat through it, but it was brutal. Yeah. I actually think last year on Zoom was more entertaining for some weird reason. But this one was just, it was just.
Man, did you see the setup that the Rams had?
They're trying to outdo Cliff Kingsbury.
Exactly. Out in Arizona.
Malibu Beach House.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a nice beach. I didn't see it in the draft itself, but, you know, it was on the news. Like, they showed, like, that's a nice little pad right there.
Sean McVay. Jeez. Good team. Great city.
I wonder what the mortgage is for that place. Yeah,
it's up there. Yeah. It's up there. Yeah. Just to add 2 more zeros to your mortgage payment. Jalen Phillips, edge rusher, defensive end out of Miami of Florida. Nice pick, I think, for the Dolphins. Anything to add on that?
Yeah.
They need defense. They need defense at Miami.
No, of course. I mean, they have a solid team. They have a solid squad right there, even with the defense that they have. I like that they have a young team. And if they bring in more young players like this, if he performs well, you know, if they can find a quarterback of the future there, then they're set.
Yeah, on the cusp of the playoffs last year. A team that was also on the cusp, but with a much worse record, the Washington football team take Jamin Davis out of linebacker out of Kentucky.
I guess it's Jamin.
Jamin? You should be reading these names.
The next
Why
one
are
is
there
like,
so many
the,
complicated names?
Scott Collins? Like,
there are a lot of tough names in this draft. How did you pronounce it?
Jamin? I mean, if I...
how did I pronounce it?
Jamin?
Jamin? I think it's Jamin.
Haman.
I'm going to go with Jamin.
Haman.
Davis, linebacker out of Kentucky. I think that's a smart move for Washington.
He's not from South America. Haman?
But I like this pick. Yeah. I mean, they've got a strong defense
Their defense is so underrated. Yeah, I don't think it's underrated
great
anymore.
Great defense already.
But yeah, their defense is good. This is just adding to that solid defense that they have there in Washington.
Yeah, I think this was a smart pick for them. Their offense is going to be – there's going to be a cap on their offense this year, and I think I like them to, you know, adding to that already stout defense. Hey, there you go, Franny. The New York Giants. The New York Giants at number 20 take Kadarius.
Yes.
I got it right?
I would say Kadarius, yes, of course.
Kadarius Toney out of Florida. Wide receiver out of Florida. Another big, strong wide receiver goes into your division. You've got all the receivers that are 170 pounds or less on the Philadelphia Eagles roster for some strange reason, but this is a nice pick for the Giants, I think.
Yeah, the Eagles love those 5'9 receivers.
Yeah, it's a little strange. You keep drafting them and drafting them and drafting them.
One of these guys is going to work out. One of these guys will become Antonio Brown, I promise.
But what do you think about this pick for the G-men?
I mean, it's a good pick for Jonesy. Is it Daniel Jonesy over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sucks anyways. They probably should have picked the quarterback because I don't see Daniel Jones working out in New York. Yeah. But this is another target for him.
Yeah, and they need it. Next up, 21, Colts take Kwity Paye, edge rusher out of Michigan. Nice pick for them as well. Yeah. That's probably what I would have done if I were the Giants, but they went with Kadarius Toney instead. But what do you think about the pick for the Colts at number 21?
It's a good pick. I mean, their defense is also pretty solid as well. I mean, if I was
them, they're a nice, well-rounded team.
If I was them, offensive line. I mean, we see what happens when Carson Wentz is under pressure. He makes terrible decisions. Maybe you want to protect Carson Wentz just a little bit, but yeah, sure. Edge rusher.
Titans take Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. Anything to add on that?
It's good. I mean, all these cornerbacks that are taken in the first round. It's for some reason, it's really difficult to find a guy at that position, and you got to go out there in the first round and find your guy.
I agree. Minnesota Vikings take Christian Darrisaw, tackle out of Virginia Tech. That's actually a nice pick for the Vikings. They also take a quarterback later in the draft, but I think they need a little bit more help to help Kirk Cousins stay upright in Minnesota. I like that pick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I'm drinking. I'm drinking at the same time. It's a good pick, though.
I love
offensive linemen.
Next up, Pittsburgh Steelers take Najee Harris. Bam. He shouldn't have been there. Fist bump. Bam. He should not have been available at this spot.
This is the steal right here in the draft. Nobody expected him to go this late. But the Steelers needed a running back. We've been talking about this
for a long time.
For years now.
Yeah. Since Jerome Bettis retired.
Man, this guy.
Since Le'Veon Bell retired.
Good character. Awesome running back.
Yeah, great running back. Can catch the ball. Can run. I mean, he could do everything. He's big. He's strong.
Hey, he's Alabama?
Physical.
Another Alabama guy?
And he's from Alabama.
Are they any good?
But this was, I did not expect Najee Harris to fall this low in the draft. I thought we might have a shot at Travis Etienne, who went to the Jaguars in the next pick. But this pick, I did not expect to fall into our lap at 24. We need a running back. We were too dependent on the passing game last year.
We
jettisoned three of our offensive linemen, one retired. Mm-hmm. We need someone that can center this offense, keep this offense on schedule, eat clock, and just be more balanced, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I love this pick. I am excited. I am shocked that we were able to get him, and I could not be more excited.
Yeah, no, of course, man. That is what you guys need right there. I mean, I think this could really elevate the Steelers. And, you know, obviously you went 11-0 at one point last season. But in the playoffs, this is the guy that you need in the playoffs to, you know, get you over the hump. In cold weather, in the playoffs, this guy.
No throwing the ball 40 times. Travis Etienne out of Clemson, another great running back, goes to the Jags at 25, building that team around Trevor Lawrence. Cleveland Browns 26 get Greg Newsome the second, another cornerback out of Northwestern. Franny, the Browns are loading up.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are a good team. They're a solid team all across the board. This is just going to add to their depth.
Fuck the Browns.
Oh, there's
they beat
shot.
Us in the playoffs. There's no more love for the Browns.
Well, not only did they beat you in the playoffs,
they beat us in the last week of the season.
Exactly. Yeah. And you allowed them into the playoffs, and you allow them to kick your ass in the playoffs.
Well, we only allowed them into the playoffs by not playing our starters. I mean, what do you want us to do?
But you can't
want us to
do try that. To, you can't. But then you
we're
could
not
beat
playing
them.
To win the game, Ronnie. We're playing to rest Ben Roethlisberger. Don't
hey, where,
you know?
Where's your shot glass right there? Where is your shot glass right there?
The Browns look strong,
you said
man.
Something negative.
The Browns look strong again. I don't like it. I mean, I like this pick
look,
for them.
They look strong again?
Yeah.
They haven't looked strong in 21 years.
Well,
I mean,
I mean, last year and going into this year, they look strong.
Finally look good for like one season.
Yeah, but last year was not... I mean, actually, it was what I expected because I bet the over on them, and I cleaned up on that on the wins total for the Browns.
So but, I got a little baby shot right there. Right. I'll take a little baby
Let's
shot with you.
Let's do it. Yep. Now I'll be slurring my words before we get through this.
I don't think so.
Next up, the Ravens take Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota. They need more offensive weapons. Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, the Ravens. I like this pick for them. They need a little bit of help, you know, at the receiving position. And the Baltimore Ravens have a ton of picks in this draft, so they can afford to go with a wide receiver at this pick.
Yep.
Saints take Peyton Turner at 28. Defensive end out of Houston, 29, Eric Stokes go to the Packers, cornerback.
I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is really happy about that pick right there. It's like, get me some fucking help, man.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't I mean, but their defense struggled a little bit down the stretch there.
I mean, their defense was pretty solid, though. But I mean,
but
like,
down the stretch,
yeah, yeah. I mean,
against the pass, they need a little help.
Yeah, that is true. But I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's like, get me a wide fucking receiver.
Nope, there are no soup for you. No soup for you in Green Bay.
He makes like no name wide receivers look amazing. Like, get this guy an actual wide receiver.
Yeah, you know? Don't talk a lot of
everybody
smack. Wait till we get to the Seattle Seahawks first pick.
Yeah, everybody that leaves Green Bay as a wide receiver that balled out in Green Bay, they suck. Everywhere else they go, they're nobodies.
Exactly. Next up, Buffalo Bills at 30. Take Greg Rousseau, edge rusher out of Miami. I like that pick for the Bills. They definitely need to buttress that defense. Their defense was really, really good this year. They did lack a little depth off the edge, and I think this is a nice pick for a team that is looking to repeat as division leaders, division winners in the AFC East. What do you think?
Their defense is strong as it is, and to add to that, you know, add to the depth on that team, I mean, I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, they're great on the DB position, and they are now going to be a little bit better on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Ravens with another pick for the Ravens. Odafe Owe. Out of Penn State, edge rusher out of Penn State. This pick came in a trade with Kansas City. Ravens always looking to take defensive talent consistently, constantly, and always. And they're already pretty strong defense, just got a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, they're known for their defense, and it's just got a little bit better.
Yes.
Maybe.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming at the tail end of the draft. Yeah. They take edge rusher Joe Tryon out of Washington. Frane, what say you?
I'm sure he's happy.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone that goes...
He's like, I could win a Super Bowl next year.
Yeah.
I can do it.
And he probably will. You want to get through the second round, the third round really quickly?
Let's look at our teams, you know.
Let's see, we got the...
The Jets got Elijah Moore. That's, you know, it's a good target for them over there. But, you guys...
Let's see, we picked later. Steelers take Pat... Fryermuth? Am I even close?
Yep, I'm sure that's pretty. That's
Pat
right.
Fryermuth, tight end at Penn State. This is a great, great, great pick for the Steelers. A little bit weird.
Why is that?
A little bit weird. I mean, because we obviously, you know, Matt Filer gone, Marquise Pouncey retired, Alejandro Villanueva gone.
True.
We lost three starters on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I really expected them to go with an offensive lineman here, but apparently they're really trying to beef up the defense at the skill positions or the offense at the skill positions. And taking a running back in the first round, now doubling down with a tight end. We haven't had a tight end since Heath Miller retired, a real bona fide tight end. We do have Eric Ebron, who's solid. His numbers are solid. I know Steeler fans don't love him, but his numbers are solid. But we're taking the Patriots approach. We will have two solid tight ends next year. But what do you think about the Steelers going with a tight end instead of beefing up the defense or beefing up the offensive line?
I mean, it's an interesting move for the Steelers because they didn't value that tight end position for... ever. You know, under Mike Tomlin, that position has never been valued. And now they have Eric Ebron over there. And they have, Fryermuth.
Yes. Pat Fryermuth.
So I wonder how the offense will change now with two strong tight ends. You know, I mean, like the Eagles love tight ends. Pittsburgh Steelers, not so much. We'll see how the offense changes this year.
Exactly. But here's a pick for in honor of Sonya and Russell Wilson. Seattle's first pick in the draft is a wide receiver, Dwayne Eskridge, out of Western Michigan. They did lose David Moore. I think his name is David Moore. But they still have Lockett.
They have Lockett. Exactly. Yeah.
I think they took a tight end with their next pick.
I just don't understand this pick.
Sticking a hot poker. You say, you don't run this team. We do.
I mean, I would have
taken... You want a high-powered offense? Here you go.
Yeah, but I would have taken an offensive lineman. I don't care who's out there. Just somebody on the offensive line. I mean, you have two solid wide receivers in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, one of the most underrated receivers in the league. I mean, the receiving core is really good, and you add this guy, which is great, but I think you need protection.
Western Michigan.
You need protection.
Yeah. I think this was an F you to Russell Wilson.
I guess
this
so.
Is the best player on their board. And they're going to take him.
Well, good luck.
This was the best player available on the board, and they took him. Kansas City Chiefs, whatever. Where are the Eagles? Where are the Eagles?
I think they're a little bit higher up the
Did
board.
I, pass
I think you may have passed them up there.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, they got the center.
Yeah, number 37.
You know, Kelsey's getting a little old.
Oh, Landon Dickerson out of Alabama.
Yeah.
Center out of Alabama.
Surprise, surprise. Right? Look, but it's from like Alabama, next pick again from Alabama. And,
well, they do win a lot of national championships.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, just a few. But I'm it's a great pickup. I mean, you know, Kelsey, this is probably his last season. And so they're going to try to find, you know, his replacement. It's about that time. He's had a great career with the Eagles. One of the best, still one of the better centers in the league. Also, just a high character guy. But, you know, this is sort of his replacement. I think it's a good pick for the Eagles right there.
For sure. We'll get into the third round. We'll check our teams in the third round. Ah, where did the Eagles go here? Da, 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 da. Eagles, number 73, take Milton Williams, defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech. What say you?
I mean, that's okay. I mean, we have other tackles on the team. I mean, I would have probably gone with maybe a linebacker if there's a linebacker on the board.
Yeah, you mentioned maybe, that a couple weeks ago.
You know, maybe a cornerback. I mean, that's a position that we've struggled at mightily.
You don't
might
say.
As well. You might as well, you know.
Avante Maddox not getting it done?
He's okay.
Actually, I like Maddox.
He seems like a nice guy.
I like Maddox, actually.
But, you know, I mean, we'll see how this guy pans out. But I would have gone for, secondary.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Let's see, Steelers or Seahawks. Oh, Steelers take Kendrick Green, guard. Yeah, they took a guard on the next pick. So, I mean, this is a good pick, I think, for them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to compete right away. He's a beast. They definitely, I mean.
Is he really a beast, Ben?
That, by all accounts, he could play center. He could play guard. I think he's going to compete right away. And God knows the Steelers need help protecting their statuesque quarterback. Let's find.
Not very fleet of foot, huh?
Yeah, let's find the.
And right now, Denver.
Oh, the Seahawks didn't have a pick in the third round.
Yeah, Denver.
Because they traded it away.
Denver is currently on the. That's how long this draft is. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, it's like a 3-day event. You know, they could get everything. Is it 4 days or 3 days now?
Is it three or four? It goes all the way through Sunday.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
But we did have a couple QBs that came off the board in the third round. Kellen Mond. You know, went to the Vikings at number 66, and Davis Mills out of Stanford went to the Texans at 67. So it looks like the Texans
are... dad is part of the medical staff right now with the Texans. He handles really long needles.
Long needles. Tyrod Taylor, stay out of the training room.
Don't go in there. But do not
I think
go
this
in there.
Is, I think this is definitely evidence that...
Get out.
Get out. Run. I think this is evidence that you're not going to see Deshaun Watson play another down for the Texans, whether it's of his own volition or not.
Yeah, well, you know, it has legal issues, I hear.
Yeah, and if somehow he's able to resolve those legal issues, he will definitely be traded by the Houston Texans. I think he's... I think that relationship has ended. Franny, you want to take a quick break and we'll finish up the NFL news and get into the rest of the show?
Yeah. There's more NFL news. Wow. All right.
Yeah. There's more NFL news.
Let's do it.
All right. Hold tight, everyone.
All right, and we are back. And Ben, you brought in that EDM bumper a little bit earlier than
usual. In honor
usual,
of your home purchase.
But I love it. I love that. I mean, if we could just play it on a loop, I'd enjoy that the entire
exactly.
time.
Exactly. We'll talk to you in 2 hours.
But we have the remainder of our NFL news.
Yeah, Friday. First up, reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. The Packers are aware of his so-called feelings, concerned about them, and have led team president Mark Murphy, general manager Brian Gutekunst, and head coach Matt LaFleur each to fly out on separate trips to meet with Rodgers at various points this offseason. As we stated, since the season ended, we are committed to Aaron in 2021 and beyond, Gutekunst told ESPN. Aaron has been a vital part of our success, and we look forward to competing for another championship with him under leading our team. Rodgers 37 is not budged this offseason, but neither have the Packers, who have made it known that they do not intend to trade Rodgers anywhere. The Niners called the Packers on Wednesday night, and the Los Angeles Rams inquired about Rodgers in January before they traded for Matthew Stafford. Rodgers is unhappy for a variety of reasons, some of it dating back to last year's draft when the Packers didn't inform him before trading up to take a quarterback with a first-round pick. Some took this as a sign that his days in Green Bay could be numbered, and the Broncos are the front runners to get the MVP as we sit here today. Franny, what say you?
I don't know why he wants to leave. I mean, I don't know which other team he could go to and still have the same sort of success.
Tom Brady is the head fuck to end all head fucks.
I mean, he's been in the NFC Championship now how many times? Was it 4 years in a row, something like that? Or he's been there four times and failed four times?
He did win one of them.
Career. I don't understand why he's so disgruntled. Just like with Russell Wilson, I don't understand it. You're in a good position where you're at right now.
12-4.
I mean, you're not going to have that same record, you know, playing against Kansas City. I mean, Oakland is getting a little bit better now, too. The Chargers now are looking better as well. I mean, so that division.
The Dolphins.
Yeah.
The Bills. The Patriots are always there.
The AFC in general it's become a very tough decision. I mean, division. Sorry, my brain. It's become a very tough division to play in. I mean, there was a time there where the AFC wasn't that strong, but now, especially the last couple of years, that division is rising.
For sure.
And in where he's at right now with Detroit and Chicago, I mean, you know that you can beat those teams. You have those teams four times a year. That's like 4-0 right there. You can look at those on the schedule and be like, yeah, we can beat these teams. That's not a problem. You know, but I mean, it's to me, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you know, Green Bay is a great football town, and I don't know why he would want to leave.
Yeah, to me, it's just crazy. I mean, to me, this all goes back to Tom Brady. I mean, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers both apparently want to be Tom Brady without actually being Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Go back to that fourth down call last year in the playoffs when they kicked the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down. Not only did Aaron Rodgers not know what the plan was going to be on fourth down, he didn't advocate for what he wanted to do on fourth down. He looked like just any other player out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the issues, especially with Aaron Rodgers. He wants to be just any other player, show up, put the time in, and go home. And that's not what it, I mean, nothing against him if he doesn't want to be Tom Brady. If he doesn't want to work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year like Tom Brady does to bring guys to his franchise, to instill a culture in the franchise, to win championships. I just think Aaron Rodgers, he wants to do his thing. He wants to do his commercials. He wants to go on Jeopardy. He wants to do all, you know, he wants to be an intellectual. He wants to read books. He wants to do all this stuff. Fine. I mean, I envy all of those things. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel like he's the kind of leader that Tom Brady is. Nor, I mean, Russell Wilson's a little closer, but I think they both want what Tom Brady has, but they're not taking the steps to get to where Tom Brady is. It's not by mistake that all these guys want to go and play with the Patriots. They want to go and play with the Buccaneers now. They want to take less money. You know, do the things that Tom Brady does and you will be Tom Brady. But I can't understand where, same thing with Russell Wilson. Where is this mystery team that you think exists that is going to magically transform you into a Super Bowl contender when you were, you know, you were, what was it? They were the number two seed in the NFC last year or the number one seed?
Green Bay.
They were either the one seed or the two seed because the Bucs were an underdog going into all those games.
Yeah, the Bucs were six, I think. So Green Bay, I think they may have been number one, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they were at home in the championship game, weren't they?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe
lost
so,
to Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
And now this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that those two things are not connected.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of it had to do also with on that fourth down play. You know, you don't trust your quarterback. You don't want to go for it on fourth down. I mean, it's like I'm fucking Aaron Rodgers. You know, come on, let me go for it on fourth down. Because there might not be any other chance after this, and there wasn't. And so
and
I think
he didn't even know what the plan was.
There was no communication between the coach and the QB. I mean, your QB is Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, you should go for it on fourth down at the end of the game, season on the line. You should definitely go for it right there. Obviously, it didn't happen, and I can understand why he's pissed off, but I wouldn't. I mean, there's no better option
what's
for him.
This mystery team? The Bears?
Yeah, I mean,
Russell Wilson said he wants to go to the Bears.
Where are you going to go and still, you know, win 12? Because next year they can win 12 games again.
Yeah, but where? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would understand if there was some alternative, but the Buccaneers have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Cardinals have a quarterback. I'm not sure what this team is that you think is young and up and coming and has a lot of talent and has space on
Does
the roster.
Does he want to go to Miami? Does he want to go to... I mean, the Rams have a quarterback already right now.
Yeah, like
Matthew Stafford. I mean, you can't come to the Rams.
Yeah, see, I mean, the Seahawks signed a defensive end the other, you know, day before last.
Does he want to go to Oakland?
For nothing?
I mean, you know, Oakland, maybe? I don't know.
But this is what happens when you're making $37 million. I mean, I think he's making $33 million against the cap, something like that. But this is what happens when you have a quarterback making $25 million in Tom Brady and a quarterback making $40 million in Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, or 33, whatever Rodgers is against the cap. But I understand they're frustrated, but there's got to be a bet. I can't imagine Matt LaFleur is like Bill Belichick, who's like my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Matt LaFleur doesn't want to work with Aaron Rodgers. So you got to put the work in. You're the highest paid player on the team. You're the leader of the team. If you want to put the work in, get in the room, get in there with the scouts, get in there with the coaching staff, and figure out a better way to get this team over the hump. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's the team that he's on that's the problem, because I can't imagine what team it would be that he would end up, you know, that he would end up being traded to that would give him a better chance to win than the home field advantage he's got in Green Bay and the decent roster that he's got in Green Bay as well. I mean, I know they've never had a running back. He doesn't have the kind of receivers that a lot of guys have, but their Steelers always have great receivers, and I don't see them winning Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Tom Brady in New England, he's won Super Bowls with a lot worse teams than Aaron Rodgers had last year. So I guess I can't help but think that it's Tom Brady that's gotten into everybody's head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. I mean, I completely agree with you 100%. I mean, they see him move on to a different team and have success over there. They're thinking they can do the exact same theme and replicate it somehow, but it's not the same. You know, I mean, all these guys respect Tom Brady, you know, more so than Bill Belichick. A lot of the guys are saying it's not Bill Belichick. He's not the reason they won all the Super Bowls. A lot of these guys are saying it's Tom Brady. You know, his work ethic and the way he performs on the field in difficult situations.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, he really brings the team together. I mean, he seems like sort of an asshole, but I mean, you know, all greats are a little bit of an asshole. And you know, that's what Tom Brady has, that sort of ego doesn't really show all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of guys respect him. A lot of guys just respect his work ethic, the way he goes out and perform. I mean, he's 44 years old, 45. Yeah. How old is he now?
Is he going to demand a trade now that they took a quarter, now that Tampa Bay took a quarterback? They took Kyle Trask in the third round.
Yeah.
Out of Florida, which is the guy that I wanted the Steelers to take in the third round. But Shane Buechele is still out there. If the Steelers do not draft Shane Buechele in the sixth round, if he's still out there, or the fifth round, if he's still out there, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah, well, you might lose your shit. I'm pretty sure you will.
But the Buccaneers did. They took a quarterback to Kyle Trask out of Florida in the third round.
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady going to demand a trade now?
No, of course not. He's a good team over there. He's going to be the starter next year. He might win another Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, it's just these guys' egos are outstripping their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Franny, are you ready?
Ooh, yes, I am, Ben. I see who's next on the agenda there.
Let's just get, maybe we'll have a small shot after the two big shots that we already did. But next up, Antonio Brown adding to the riches of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with all of their 22 Super Bowl starters back on the field. Can you believe it? All 22 of their starters are back with the Bucs. Mm-hmm. The Bucs are bringing back Antonio Brown on a deal worth $6.25 million, $3.1 million fully guaranteed, and $2 million signing bonus. We got this stupid dog barking in the background. I hope you guys can't hear that. But Franny, what say you about bringing back another weapon with Gronk, with Godwin, with
Antonio Brown has finally found a home where he's happy.
With Mike Evans. I mean, you talk about receivers.
That's a good receiving core right there.
And Antonio Brown had to get up to speed. He was a little bit of an afterthought.
Hey, but he performed well in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, we had, what, two touchdowns in the Super Bowl?
One touchdown
in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's still pretty impressive.
But you know, he'll be a full participant this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's great for Tampa Bay, not so great for every other team out there. But Ben, how do you feel? I mean, you don't have...
I wanted the Steelers to pick him up.
Oh, what?
I wanted this. He seems to have righted the ship in his emotional headspace. For $6.25 million, I know the Steelers are a little bit strapped on the cap, but I mean, I would have loved to have seen Antonio Brown finish his career in Pittsburgh. What a great story
come back and win a Super Bowl with the Steelers.
You know, a comeback story where you completely fix all the problems you had in the past. There's a word that begins with R that I can't quite get out of my brain right now that means sort of to, you know,
release.
Fix all of your old problems.
Release.
Redeem. Redeem your
you
redemption.
You finally redeemed yourself.
A redemption story for Antonio Brown. And I was kind of, I mean, for $6.25 million, only $3 million guaranteed, $2 million signing bonus. I think the Steelers could have made that happen for one final run with Big Ben.
Yeah.
But the Bucs are going to be tough to
Where's your shot?
Yeah, small one.
Why are we taking the shot, though? Because you haven't really said anything negative about him.
Because of the year 3 years ago when Antonio Brown decided to make the Steelers' life miserable by creating all kinds of drama up and down and left and right, bashing everyone on the team, bashing his teammates, bashing the coaching staff, bragging, you know, doing all sorts of ridiculous stuff and just making the Steelers' life more complicated than it had to be for a long period of time.
Well, cheers.
Let's do it.
To you, Ben. That's a little bit of the orange.
But this, I mean, this, I look at the Chiefs roster. I mean, obviously the Chiefs, that's gross. Obviously the Chiefs, I mean, they made sure and they drafted an offensive lineman today as well.
I know, yeah. They're stacking that line.
And Thuney, like, and everybody else, yeah.
But now, no injury is going to fuck us up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they were saying on the broadcast.
We have 30 offensive linemen now.
They're like, Andy Reid said, we are never going to have that fucking problem again. I don't care if we got $25 million in salary sitting on the bench every game.
They're going to have like 8 or 9 guys on the line and one receiver, you know.
They're going to play a 22 formation out there.
It's just a line of offensive, just big dudes all across the board in front of Mahomes.
But yeah, I mean, that was the right thing to do. But the Buccaneers, man, they look, I mean, if Tom Brady stays healthy, I think you could pencil him into, you know, at least an appearance in the Super Bowl.
Exactly, yeah.
And that is just shocking to me. I mean, all 22 starters, plus what they did on the offensive line.
Yep.
Ay. Next up. We touched on this a little bit. I won't read all of the words that I've typed on the page since we're running a little long already. But what do you think is going to happen in New England? They got Jared Stidham on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Cam Newton on the roster on a pretty cheap deal, actually a really cheap deal. And they just drafted Mac Cub Scout Body Jones to come.
Man Boob Jones.
Man Boob Jones. What do you think is going to happen in New England with this? I mean, they got three quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I thought Stidham might get a shot this year.
Yeah.
But with Mac Jones being available at 15, they went out and got Mac Jones. What do you think is going to happen with that? I mean, because they need to get to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton is the number one quarterback at the moment. You know, and I think Mac Jones, number two, Stidham, number three right now. I think they're eager to see what Mac Jones can do. So if Cam Newton struggles just a little bit.
They might put him in the gym for a year.
Just a little bit. If he just struggles, you know, Mac Jones, I see him going in. You know, Stidham's just going to stand there holding the clipboard.
I mean, that shows how amazing Alabama is and how big and how talented their offensive line is that a man with that body was able to play against SEC defenses for 11 games and a playoff game and looking like that with that body and not get crushed into dust.
He's sneaky quick.
But it really is shocking because those SEC linemen, those defensive linemen and those defensive players are so big and so strong. But they weren't able to get to
him. He survived.
They weren't able to get to him because of that amazing Alabama offensive line. But I will drink a 25 year bottle of scotch with you if they are showing Mac Jones's picture after one Super Bowl win in New England. If we have to see that picture 3 years from now when he wins a Super Bowl, I'll buy a 25 year bottle of scotch and we'll drink it and just stare at his picture for 10 minutes. Because only Bill Belichick can pull that off twice.
Tickle his man boobs on the big
I saw it. I'm like,
what the fuck?
Is this like a pregame tailgate at a Buffalo game?
Is this guy an athlete?
I mean,
he's got no shoulder muscles. Yeah. He's got no arm muscles. He's got no muscle anywhere in his body.
Yeah, it looks like he's about to jump off the top of a van onto a table at a Bills parking lot.
Exactly. It doesn't look like he can throw the ball 10 yards down the field. Yeah. But he can do it.
He can. Oh, pretty crazy. All right, next up. Your favorite quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, was traded to the Denver Broncos for a 6th-round pick. A source tells NFL Network's Tim Pelissero, Carolina will pay a portion of Bridgewater's 2021 compensation as part of a restructured contract to finalize the deal with Denver. But what say you, Franny? Teddy B, off to Carolina from New Orleans, now off to the quarterback carousel that is the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Teddy B. He's gonna be the new Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, I mean, you know, he's still finding a job. So that's good that he's still able. I mean, teams are still willing to, you know, bring him on board. But I mean, I do like Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, obviously he's a little too safe with the football. He doesn't take any risks whatsoever. So you know he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but he also doesn't throw a lot of deep balls. But you know, for Denver, that's a pretty decent pickup. I mean, they really have nobody over there as a starter, and Teddy Bridgewater has experience. And he also has healed up from his injury. He looked pretty decent last year with Carolina. I mean, early on in the season, he looked really good. And then he sort of, you know, fell off just a little bit. But he just needs to take more risks as a quarterback.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Denver just can't. I mean, they cannot solve that quarterback situation.
Yeah,
I know they love Drew Lock. I know they're looking to get Aaron Rodgers.
If they only held on to Brock Osweiler.
Who are they going to move? They're going to move Lock to the Packers with a bunch of picks and potentially some players. Are they going to move Bridgewater? I would move Bridgewater and a bunch of picks and some players.
Mm-hmm.
But Denver cannot figure out that quarterback situation, and they keep trying and trying and trying.
Hey, Aaron.
Well, you know, I mean, I can't even imagine what the cost would be. It shouldn't be that high. The guy's going to be 38 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can only pay so much for a 38-year quarterback. All right, fine. I got another story, but it's not really time sensitive. We'll do it next week.
Not crazy.
What's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is a shout out to our new and loyal listeners out there.
Yes. Thank you all to our new listeners as well as our loyal listeners that have been with us for a long, long time. We love each and every one of you. Since 2018, we have been a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. And since you're listening, please consider heading to our website, thirstygold.buzzsprout.com, or search Thirsty Gold Podcast on the web and subscribe, rate, and review our show. Front, how many stars?
5 stars, Ben.
Just pound that 5-star review. Tell a friend, a family member, a coworker, a stranger, just one person that you know or even someone that you don't know about our show. We would truly, truly appreciate it if you'd help us spread the word about our podcast. We would love it if you would get some of your friends and coworkers to listen to the show. You can also check us out on Pandora, Audible, and Amazon Music. We're on those platforms as well as every podcatcher in the universe. For anyone, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our feel-good story.
Oh, but this is your favorite part of the show, Friday. And this is a good one this week.
Is it really?
Well, I mean, it was...
It's a good one every week, in my opinion.
It's a little serendipity because another linebacker out of my alma mater, the University at Buffalo Bulls, had another linebacker that went in the top 3 rounds today. So proud, proud, proud of the Buffalo Bulls. So I thought, you know what? We'll have a feel-good story about another Buffalo Bull, Khalil Mack. This is from Fort Pierce, Florida. Khalil Mack, hometown hero and pro football player, has donated $500,000 to upgrade Ilouis Ellis Park in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. The park, 1211 Avenue M, has a football field named in 2018 in honor of the former Fort Pierce Westwood High School football standout and current outside linebacker for the Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack Field at Ilouis Park is home to the Fort Pierce Firehawks youth football team. The $500,000 was donated on behalf of the Khalil Mack Foundation, a nonprofit founded by Mack in 2018 and is dedicated to providing educational and extracurricular activities for inner city and underprivileged youth and families. Foundation officials could not be reached for comment about Ilouis Ellis Park upgrades. Franny, what say you about $500,000? Going to Ilouis Park in Florida to make even more great football players come and play in the SEC.
Wait, Khalil Mack went to Buffalo?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Man, what a baller from Buffalo.
The best linebacker in the history of the league went to Buffalo. That is right. Yeah.
I don't know
Khalil
about
Mack,
that.
Lawrence Taylor. That's how it goes.
No bias whatsoever on that one. No.
A little Dick Butkus in there, maybe?
No, but that is great. No, well, who was it last week? It was Lane Johnson with the $500,000 donation.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah, I know, man. Seriously. Well, I mean, these guys made they've made a pretty decent career in the NFL with a good chunk of change, but still, $500,000 is nothing to sneeze at. And good for Khalil Mack. But I still don't know if he's one of the best, like you just said.
And you're looking at me like you're looking at me like I'm full of shit. There's a part of you that doesn't believe that Khalil Mack went to the University of Buffalo. Right? As we sit here today, are you 100%?
I mean, I could Google it. I could Google it.
Are you 100% certain that that's not true?
I'm not certain.
I could see as soon as you looked at me, you looked at me and said, Khalil Mack went to Buffalo? And I said, yes. And I could see in your eyes, like as an attorney, I could read your face. So I know what you were thinking. You're thinking, no, he's full of shit. I think you got it wrong, but I'm not going to call him out in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. Let me Wikipedia this right now. And College Buffalo. All right. I believe you now, Ben.
We only have like three. You don't think I'm going to remember?
Going back to
if he went to CSUN, you don't think you'd remember that?
There's no football team at CSUN anymore. It's been a long time since
went to Pierce College over here. Yeah. Probably
there's definitely no teams.
But at least they have a football team.
Do they really?
Yeah.
No.
Pierce
way.
Has a football team. Yeah.
They're probably beat by every high school out here. I mean, they allow everybody into that college.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but that's how you get the best candidates. You don't care about prior convictions. You don't care about grades. You don't care about any of that stuff. That's how you get
it's a community college. I guess that's, they pretty much allow everybody. But, But I mean, I just looked it up, and it is true. He did go to Buffalo. I'm surprised. I mean, because Buffalo doesn't really have the greatest football program.
It doesn't have the worst.
No.
It's not ranked 117th anymore.
Yeah, no, it's 116th now.
They went to the – actually, a couple years ago, they were ranked last. But they did win a MAC championship, so, you know, shout out UB, horns up.
Named after Khalil Mack.
Exactly. All right, Freddie. Can't believe you didn't believe me. What's next up on the big board, Frank?
I thought you were seriously bullshitting me. Next up on the big board, Ben, is our stat of the week.
And in honor, I actually had two stats I was going to choose from this week, but since the Philadelphia Eagles took another 5'2" wide receiver soaking wet at 170 pounds, we thought we'd go through the 2000
we drafted Nate Robinson as wide receiver.
Exactly. Spud Webb now playing wide receiver. We're going to go through the according to PFF, the top 10 wide receivers of 2020. Franny, who do you think comes in at number one?
The guy in the picture right there, Davante Adams.
Yes. Davante Adams, best receiver in the league according to PFF analysis.
You know why? Because he's got the best quarterback in the league. That's why.
Do you think that
if
has
he
something
went
to
anywhere
do
else, if he went anywhere else, just like Cobb, just like
Randall Cobb, he was good for a minute.
Exactly. With the Packers, he was really good.
He wasn't bad with the Cowboys. He wasn't.
Yeah. Who's the tight end over there? Who went to the Seahawks?
I couldn't even tell you. I don't like that guy. He played in New Orleans, and then he went to the white dude.
What's his name? What's his face? We can't remember his name.
Went to Seattle, then he went to Green Bay.
Yeah, exactly. But in Green Bay, he was great. Everywhere else, not so much.
What was his name? Now I got to remember.
There's a couple other wide receivers, you know, that have played for Green Bay who looked like studs in Green Bay, and once they move on to a different quarterback, no Aaron throwing the ball, man, career floundered.
Quarterback floundered. Number two, somebody that you could have had. Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I know. That's sad.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Reagor is really working out for us.
That's why I wanted
He's a spectacular wide receiver. I think he had maybe 500 yards receiving, maybe 580 yards receiving this season.
But there's this guy, Justin Jefferson, who appears to be pretty good.
He looks a little too tall for us.
And he's playing he's playing with a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, it's like they have, like, before you get on a ride, like, you must be this tall. That's what the Eagles have at their draft.
You can't be this tall.
You must be at least this tall. If you're over this height, then we can't take you. We can't take you.
They've been trying to move Alshon Jeffrey ever since they
You're way too
you're
tall
way
for this
too
team,
tall.
Buddy.
You're catching, you know, making catches in the Super Bowl. We can't have that.
No.
Number three, A.J. Brown out of Tennessee.
Yep, I agree. I mean, A.J. Brown, he's a strong wide receiver.
Yeah, I love A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. Number four, this is what the Eagles are hoping to get out of Devontae Smith. Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills, number four. That seems high.
Yeah, actually, that's an impressive number right there for him. At least at number four, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I like Diggs a lot. He just makes me nervous because he's so small.
Exactly.
That he's out there potentially getting injured. Mm-hmm. Next up, Allen Robinson, the second.
That's pretty interesting.
And that's with no quarterback throwing the ball to him. God only knows what Allen Robinson could accomplish
with a
decent team. Number six, Adam Thielen, two Vikings in this list. What say you about?
Wait, who's the other Viking?
Justin Jefferson.
Oh, that's right. Jesus. That's right. He plays over there.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I mean, I'm giving Kirk Cousins a lot of shit, but he's actually a lot better than, I'm giving him
credit
for. The
wide receivers are better. he's mediocre.
Yeah.
But he has some good wide receivers to the ball too.
But the real Cooper Kupp. Please stand up. Adam Thielen for the Minnesota Vikings. What say you about
and
Adam
Diggs
Thielen?
Just imagine if they had Diggs and Thielen. And, I mean, man.
Yeah, they shouldn't have let Diggs walk.
No.
And they should have drafted a quarterback 2 years ago. number seven, DeAndre. Number seven.
Uh-huh.
Seven, uh-huh. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
That seems low to me.
That seems low, but, you know, hey. I mean, it's still, you know, he's in the top 10. Still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
He's a little older now, but, I mean, still, man, one of the greatest hands in the NFL right now.
And another, coming in number eight, Corey Davis, two Tennessee Titans on this list. What say you? And I think Corey Davis got moved this offseason, but Corey Davis coming in at number eight.
Yep. Julio Jones a little bit further
down
the list.
Julio Jones coming, and he's available for I know he's too tall for you guys.
Yeah, I know.
But at all time, he has, I think, the highest average receiving yards for his career all time of any receiver. Number 10, Will Fuller. That strikes me as a little odd. I know. Yeah, although he did play a whole season.
For once in his career.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we have some more. 11, Antonio Brown.
Ooh,
from the he came in at number 11.
Man, that is pretty impressive. I mean, he didn't even play an entire season. That's pretty good.
Number
12,
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he would
I don't
be
know
higher.
How good he's be next year, but, you know.
Cole Beasley, 13.
See, look at that, Cole Beasley, man.
Yeah, and well, where was he? He was with Dallas, right?
He was with Dallas. They let him
Why
go.
Did they let
I,
him
and I thought, that was, I thought that was a stupid move. To let him go.
Julian Edelman, he's too small. He runs short routes. Yeah, I don't want this guy around.
Yeah, it's these little guys that pick up the short yardage. That's what you need.
Keenan Allen, number 14.
Mm-hmm. He's a baller. He's a baller.
Calvin Ridley, 15.
Jarvis Landry. Tyreek Hill. I thought Tyreek Hill
Tyreek Hill,
6,
17.
Yeah.
And, DK Metcalf coming in low, 18. Uh-huh. Brandon Collins, Houston.
Brandon Cooks, sorry.
Brandon Collins, is that a football player or a basketball player? Brandon Cooks, Houston, Texas, 19. Cooper Kupp, let's go through 20.
Yeah.
20, LA Rams.
Brandon Ayuk, though, at 21. That's pretty impressive, too.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Franny, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, man.
Stat of the week.
Is our shot of the week. It is the drinking portion of the podcast. It is... Schnapp.
Yeah, we made it
ball.
Only an hour and 15
minutes. It's the Schnapp the ball shot, Ben. I actually, you know, I had so much on my mind coming over here. I didn't even think of putting together a shot. Sonia actually thought about this one.
I know. I saw you guys in there sort of studying our stash of liquor in there. And I was like, what is he hunting for some particular liquor in there?
No, we were looking for the right mixture, you know, to throw together here. Sonia came up with a great idea with some peach schnapps. A little bit of vodka, a little bit of narancello. It's sort of stacked. It's layered. Vodka on the bottom. No, actually, sorry. It's the peach schnapps on the bottom. It's clear. And then on the top, we have the vodka and narancello mixed together, poured on top. It's a nice layered shot.
Well, what do you think inspired this shot?
Other
than your...
Sonia.
shouldn't we call this like the 30-year shot or the mortgage booklet shot or the... What do they used to call those things that you get when you bought a car?
I've got butterflies in my stomach.
Yeah, the butterfly shot.
The butterflies in my stomach, because that's all I've been feeling ever since I heard the news. I'm like, oh, crap, that's a lot of money. But, you know, I'm excited at the same time. But, yeah, tonight's shot, Sonia came up with it. Kudos to Sonia. She's not on the show, obviously.
Sonia.
But she still takes part. In her own way, by coming up with
the
shots.
She's like a producer away from the. You
coming up,
you don't see her on camera.
Yeah. She's like one of those managers.
We couldn't do it without her.
She's like one of those managers that kind of stays away from like the office, but still, you know, takes care of whatever's going on in the office. Still handles all the emails and all the other shit, new hires and everything that you never see her. But you know the reason
somehow everything's running smooth.
Exactly because of her. And you know tonight's shot, like I said, it's that layered shot, peach schnapps on the bottom. With the vodka and narancello on top. And it's a nice looking shot. You can find
it on
our Instagram and on our Twitter at Goal Thirst on
Twitter.
I'm like, is that our Instagram handle? Or and at Thirst and on Instagram that I don't post enough shit on.
This is what happens when you buy a house.
Yeah.
When you make a big purchase, you lose your marbles.
I think I've lost my mind just a little bit. But
all you have to do is never get fired. Never.
Well, when you're part of a union, it's kind of difficult.
Never encounter any unexpected expenses.
I need new tires. Fuck that. I'm going to run on these until they're like bald.
Yeah. Well, that's what they always say. You know, you shouldn't like people that like need both couples to pay the mortgage. I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm like, if you need both people to always be in their current state of affairs.
Yeah. See, my thing is, like, if I can handle this on my own, great. If somebody else comes into the picture, even better. So, you know, I don't want to rely on another person, but it'd be great to have that extra help. But you know what? It is what it is at the moment. But you still got those butterflies.
Huge bedrooms.
Like I'm sure
two bedroom, three bath?
Yeah, two bedroom, three bath.
But
it's
a lot
like,
of bathrooms.
I love bathrooms though. It's funny. Like I wanted like
were
I
you
was
looking
searching.
For a two bedroom, four bath?
No, I will go with a one bedroom, two bathroom. And I was like, that's fine. If I have to stick with one bedroom, it's like I need an extra bedroom. But it's nice to have an extra bedroom. But you know, if I can have an extra bathroom for me, I just like bathrooms. You know, I just
want to have one everywhere.
I just want to have one everywhere. Like if
he's got porta potties in his backyard just to make sure there's an extra bathroom.
If I got a tinkle, because you know me, Ben, I have like the tiniest bladder.
For that some is reason, true.
You know, like how many times do I get off the podcast? I'm like, dude, I got to piss.
That is true.
It is true. So I'm like, if I'm upstairs, I take a piss. I'm downstairs walking out the door. I'm like, you know what? I got to take a piss.
It's a lot of bathrooms to clean, though, also. Keep your windows closed so the dust does not accumulate.
There's not going to be very many people coming over. You might be the only person coming over.
Well, just the dust itself is like... That's why whenever Sonia leaves, I close all the windows. Because it's like, close the windows. The dust is getting on everything.
Yeah, but there's a bathroom right next to the front door. Right before I leave, I'm like, you know what? I think I could
actually. It's nice to have a bathroom by the front door,
yeah, right?
Especially if you forget as you're getting out to the car. Yeah.
Like, you know what? I got a tinkle.
All right, let's do it.
Cheers, Ben. Let's see how this tastes. I'm sure it's very spirity.
Smells spirity.
Tangy, orangey, peachy.
That's actually really good.
It's actually a very good shot.
It's got a nice little tang to it, nice little spice to it. It's got a nice, it's spirity, but
it has
not
a lot of bite. Actually, it lingers.
It has some bite, but the orange takes the edge off.
Once it lingers there for a little bit, the Narancello, the bottle.
It does take the edge off.
The bottle is beautiful, and I'm not sure who the maker is, but that is some good stuff on its own. You know, like Limoncello is really good. Narancello, I think, just a little better. I like that citrusy, orangey sort of flavor to it.
Yeah. Well, you're Croatian. You love it. It tastes kind of like Fanta.
It's got that
sort of Fanta flavor to it a little bit.
Orangina, you know.
Yeah, I always look forward to that. When we go to Europe, I always look forward to the
orange font is different.
It tastes better over there.
It's different.
It tastes better over there.
It's less sugary and more naturally flavored. It tastes more like orange.
It's just more
than
refreshing.
It does like sugar.
Yeah, like I come back from the beach and I pour that with some ice. I'm like, this is refreshing.
Remember when they've like first like Fanta came on board over here in the US and they had those commercials like, oh, it was like, do you want a Fanta? Like, it was like, they had like this whole,
it was a very European commercial.
Like campaign, you know, to bring Fanta on board because it was like so huge all over the world, but not here because we had Sunkist, we have
Crush.
I was going to say Cactus Cooler, but Cactus Cooler is a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, like, it's really become more popular since that commercial. But they have more flavors.
I like it.
They have more flavors over here, though. Over there, you have the grape, the orange, obviously, you have, cactus, I think they also have the cactus cooler almost with like,
It's flavor. Not lemon lime, but it's similar.
Yeah, it's like something
it's
like
almost
that.
Almost like a lemon lime Gatorade.
They have the strawberry, they have pineapple. So yeah, they have more flavors over here. They all taste extremely sugary. And in Europe, you get the orange. That's the only one you're getting, but you're happy with it.
Yeah, over here, it's just more sugar, more sugar, more sugar, more sugar. All right, Franny, that shot was amazing. Where would you rank this on our Thirsty Goal rating scale on shots? 0 being the worst shot you've ever had. Mm-hmm. 10 being the best shot you've ever had.
I'd say this is about a 7.
I agree. I'm going to give this...
It's no
Actually,
spicy.
I'm going to give it an 8.
It's no spicy shot.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah.
Because it's got the orange really took the edge off what was a high alcohol content shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Franny, what's next up on the big board?
And next up on the big board, Ben, is our brown of the week, our beverage of the week. It is another Isla. I believe it's an Isla, actually. I believe it is an Isla. It's the Isle of Arran, actually, distillery. And is it actually... I don't know if it's an Isla. It's just, it actually might be. I didn't research this. I just picked it off the shelf because I've seen the name so many times and I wanted to try a scotch from this particular distillery.
And they've got a deep line.
And they have a deep line. And this is actually their entry level scotch. And a lot of our beverages in the coming weeks will probably be very low in price. because
I'm gonna pick up that one that's from my hometown.
With the higher mortgage, it's like Ben, we're gonna be trying a lot.
The entire line of Jim Beam,
the Jim Beam line. We have the Jim Beam Black. We have the Jim Beam Single Barrel. We have the Jim Beam Extra. We have the Jim Beam
Daniel's Barrel Strength.
Did we try that one? I don't know if we've tried that one. But yeah, a lot of them are not going to be top quality scotches in the coming weeks. But this one is actually not a bad scotch. It has some pretty decent reviews. I think it was around $50 or so for this particular one.
And for the record, you don't need to spend $70.
No, you don't. You don't have to. You don't
to get
have
a
to.
Good scotch, to get a good bourbon, to get a good rye.
But we do enjoy our scotches from the islands of Scotland. They have their own sort of particular peaty, smoky flavor to them that we thoroughly enjoy on the podcast.
Yeah, and speaking of Franny's small bladder, Would you like? Actually, this time it's my small bladder.
You can definitely hold your liquids.
Yeah, that's true.
But I might just get Depends on the show and just like in the middle of the podcast, just me go, oh.
Yeah, that's when I see Joe Rogan like 3 hours. I'm like, 3 hours?
3 hours,
and
man.
He's drinking, not drinking, whatever he's drinking.
He's pissing under the table.
He's probably got a catheter under there.
Got a little toilet under there. He's probably just taking a piss or like what are those things that they used in the medieval days? Like those, the bed pots or the chamber pots. Yeah, the chamber pots. You just hear like, you know, just piss pouring into like.
What a fancy name for a bucket.
I know, seriously.
Yeah, only leave it to the English to come up with a chamber pot. Yeah, you need a bucket that you literally
in the U.S. would be a piss pot, but yeah. in the U.K., I've got to use
the chamber pot.
Yeah, it's fancier.
Exactly.
Are fancier.
All right, would you mind taking a quick break before we review the Iran?
Let's take a quick break, Ben.
All right, we'll be right back, folks.
We use the chamber.
Yes, exactly. Hold tight.
All right, and we are back with our beverage of the week, Bendy. It's the Iran. It's the Iran malt.
Trying to keep the bumpers upbeat tonight.
La Crianza Reserve. Yeah. Do you have some information for us, Ben?
I do. I guess it's not an islay, but it is from
it's from an island.
A small
nearby.
Part, yeah. So this is the Iran single malt. Lokranza Reserve single malt. Their entry level single malt. Our Lokranza Reserve is back for a short time only. This is actually a limited edition. As the very last bottles of this edition are available online and in our Lokranza Distillery gift shop for sale. This light, fresh, and fruity single malt is bottled at 43% and is delicious on its own with a splash of water, as Franny did tonight. Or with a bit of ice. It is the perfect single malt for mixing and is a marriage of both sherry and bourbon matured casks. You can pick it up at a special price of that crazy symbol that means pounds whilst stocks last. Franny, the nose is vanilla and lemon. The palate is fresh island notes, a touch of salt and sweetness. And the finish is allegedly citrus, vanilla, and salty. What made you pick this particular beverage up?
I've just seen it on the shelf so many times. And I always mosey on off to the Glenlivets, the Glenfiddiches of the world, or the Ardbegs.
You do it with your thumbs in your pockets on both sides?
Just like that. or the Ardbegs of the world, or the Lagavulins, you know, the more well-known distilleries. But I've seen the Irans, you know, on the shelf staring back at me. And, you know, eventually I thought I'd try it. And tonight, Ben, we have it on the show. But I think this one, it wasn't always there. I mean, I think they had like a 10-year as their entry-level scotch. This one is something new, the Lokranza Reserve. I mean, you know, obviously they're saying that it's, you know, one of the last few barrels available.
It's a special edition sells
but it's
really
the cheapest.
Well, and all of a sudden they have it all the time.
It's the cheapest special edition of all time.
Yeah.
I always wanted to try the Iran, just like we tried the Jura, one of the other islands off of Scotland. So, you know, we want to definitely try all the island scotches. I mean, I was saying Isla, I'm just like, you know, in my mind, it's like Isla's the island where they have all the distilleries. You know, the Iran, obviously, it's its own island. I think it might be the only distillery on the island. But
can I move there?
Maybe we could, maybe, yeah.
Let's get a little... you can mosey.
Mosey on.
If you live on your own island...
Seriously, I mosey along the aisles.
Get some jeans and some spurs. Maybe some, what do you call those, riding chaps that you get when you're... When you're actually riding horses?
Yeah, I think I know Total Wine.
As you're walking down the aisle?
I think I know Total Wine a little too well. You know, it's like I can direct people on where to go. If they're looking for a certain beverage, I'd be like, oh, it's on this aisle, lower shelf. You know, it's like I've been there way too many times. People start knowing. It's kind of embarrassing. Like, man, this guy must be a real alcoholic.
Well, do you tell him why you're
No, I have not.
So they just drink, you polish off a bottle of scotch and bourbon every week?
I was helping a patient today, And we, I know he, like, on my name badge, I have like the Eagles, you know, sort of logo. And it's like, oh, you're an Eagles fan, huh? He's like, oh yeah, who's starting running back? I'm like, Miles Sanders. He's like, do they have a podcast?
I actually forgot about Miles Sanders.
He's like, do they have a podcast? Like I don't know. For, I was like,
many podcasts. I'm like,
I have a podcast. But he wasn't interested though.
What do you mean he wasn't interested?
He wasn't interested.
He wants to listen to Birds Banter.
I guess. I'm sure that's Birds Banter.
Or Fourth and John.
I'm sure that's good too.
Actually, Fourth and John's really good. Sure Birds Banter is also really good.
I'm sure they're all very good.
There's a lot of
Eagles.
We're not
like, you know, strictly Eagles. I mean, there's Eagles news, but we're just, you know, more.
Well, it's
all
tough
NFL
to talk about the same. I mean, I listened to a couple really good Steeler podcasts.
Yeah.
And it gets to be a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get really into the minutiae. Of what's, I mean, you get to, like, you're talking about the 80...
Minutia, huh? The minutia. Was that on your word of the day calendar, I'm sure.
I can't remember. It's like 82 players or something before you have to get down to your final cuts down to your 53. And it's just like, they're literally talking about 83 versus 82. And I'm like, okay, this is too much. This is too far.
Let's move on.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I respect the people that are that into their team. I mean, obviously, I'm an Eagles fan, but I can't name every single player on the squad.
But you got to be really dedicated to arguing about 83 versus 82 or 76 mm-hmm. versus 75.
Exactly.
I mean, of someone who's never going to see the field unless five other guys get hurt.
They're on the practice squad. You know the practice squad guys. Well, actually, the Eagles know the practice squad guys because they're playing as starters. The
only people that play.
Yeah.
But Franny, you want to give this a sniff?
A sniff. Cheers to you, Ben. Ooh, it is citrusy. It is fruity.
Ooh, smells like a mortgage.
Mortgages aren't fruity.
It smells like what citrusy. You want to drink before you pay the mortgage.
Exactly. You've been doing it for years now, Ben. I'm joining your world. But I like the little bit of bite that it has on the nose. I mean, it has that citrusy note. It has the floral notes. It has that fruity note. But then it's like a little bit of bite right on the back. It just has that little bit that little bit of meanness on the back of your nostrils.
I mean, it's a little spirity, but also sweet.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's almost like there's a little bit of biscuity note that I'm getting.
You don't say.
I'm serious. It's like
you get a lot of biscuits in your. you were English in a prior life.
Can I get some tea and crumpets?
It almost smells like ginger ale.
All right, let's give it a taste, Ben. I mean, it smells delicious.
Yeah, I like the nose. I do like the nose. Yeah, I get the vanilla, the citrus, but there's got a nice bite to it.
There's definitely sweetness there for sure. Mmm. That is nice.
Actually, it's nice and smooth, a little smoky.
I like
a little salty.
I like that just the hint of bite on the back of the throat. So it starts off smooth and then it gives you that little bit of bite, but it's nice. It's still smooth and it's very creamy. There's a lot of cream on the tongue. Like it really soaks your palate. Like it's all the way through your mouth. Maybe it gets under your tongue a little bit.
I mean, it's hitting every quadrant of my tongue. I'm getting that saltiness on the edges of my tongue. I'm getting a little bit of that sweet, you know,
yeah, but
a little bit of that sweet citrus
like
in the middle
sweet,
of my tongue.
Smoky, citrusy, fruity. I mean, it's like.
It's got a nice saltiness to it.
Yeah, that's actually, for an entry level scotch, you know, from Iran, this is a very good offering. Actually, I don't remember, you know, how much it was for an entry level. Let's see. Iran.
25 pounds, whatever that is.
Yeah, okay, so $40. So $39.99. You know, for $39.99 scotch from one of the islands off of Scotland, that is it's an enjoyable scotch. And it is actually, you know, more complex than you'd expect. There are a lot of flavors coming through. And I really do enjoy that little bit of bite. I like a little bit of bite on there.
I mean, is there? I mean, something that you like about it? You know, how would you compare it to a Glenlivet?
Well, it's not as smooth. I mean, it's definitely not as smooth as the Glenlivet. I mean, I do love that smoothness in a Glenlivet, but you know, as much as I enjoy that smoothness, I also enjoy a little bit of bite every now and then as well. So, I mean, if you're looking for something that has that little bit of bite that still has a little bit of that smokiness, I mean, this is, I wouldn't say it's an entry level like Islay. you know, but it's definitely, it introduces you to a little bit of the smoky flavors in a Scotch, still not as smoky or peaty as an Islay, but it has a little bit of it there. Like it's on the back of your tongue. You can kind of taste it right on the edge right there.
Yeah. But I really like the saltiness. Mm-hmm. I really like the salt with the citrus, with the vanilla.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually very,
it's nice.
There's a lot of flavors there. It is actually way more complex than you would find in a lot of $40 scotches. I mean, a lot of, like you said, Glenlivet, it's smooth. It gives you that one flavor and it goes down very easily. This one, you know, it makes you think about the flavors that are there on your tongue. So I'm actually, I'm impressed with this one.
Yeah. I mean, salty. I mean, I don't know how easy it is to find, you know, a scotch that has that sort of salty, you know, salty flavor, but I'm
hey,
really,
it's
I'm
from the Sierra.
I'm starting to learn that I like the salty scotches, both the smoky and the peaty and the salty. I mean, I also like the Balvenie 21, a beautiful, smooth, complex scotch.
Well, I mean, this
but
one,
that salty edge to this one really, that's what takes me over the edge.
Yeah, maybe it's not for everybody. You know, maybe not everybody would enjoy this sort of scotch because of that little bite that it has on the end. Some folks just enjoy that smoothness that goes down and, you know, you just, you know, go back for the next sip. This one.
That's why that's when you buy a blue shirt with a white collar and you go and work on Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, this one has a little bit of both worlds because on the beginning it is smooth and then it hits you a little bit with that harshness on the finish. So I like this one. Actually, I'm more impressed than I thought I would be with this entry level offering from the Aran.
Yeah. And almost more and more enjoyable the more you drink of it.
Actually, that's true. I mean, it's because there's other flavors there that are like, what is that? Like, and you're trying to pinpoint which flavor it is. And it's like, and that's what I love about scotches. Like sometimes like you go back and like you there's something there, but it's like you just can't put your finger on what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you go back for it again and you're like, God, what is that? Like, you know, it's like, what the fuck flavor am I tasting right there? And this kind of has that.
And you don't get that as much with the bourbons and the rye. I mean, with the bourbon, you really, is it sweet? Is it too sweet? Not sweet enough. But they all taste sort of like a bourbon. I mean, I think we got those Balcones were really good, but it's still a bourbon, still a rye. And it doesn't sort of,
delicious.
It doesn't get delicious, but doesn't quite get you that complex flavor profile that you get from a scotch.
Well, this one in particular, I mean, they're you know, like the, you know, some of the, you know, the Glenlivet, I love the smoothness of that, but I also appreciate the little bit of harshness from this too. But I mean, the complexity is definitely there in this particular scotch. And for the price point, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, we might actually have to continue to drink. This might have to go to your new house.
Maybe.
This might have to be one of the, trying to offload some of our stash to Frane's new house. We've accumulated a number of bottles.
Sonia's not too happy about like all the bottles just laying all over the floor everywhere. It's like
122
of
them.
You have to step over them. Like you have to go to the bathroom and like just you knock a bottle over.
And I'm like, God, you know, what am I going to do? There's 122 bottles out here.
Yeah, use it as perfume.
Yeah. we finished a few.
What can I say, honey?
We have finished a few. All right, Freddie, where would you
Although I brought over two new ones today, like I got the Jim Beam, even though we already have that Jim Beam that we finished off, I just wanted to make sure that we had another punishment shot on the table.
Yeah,
go
I saw the orange. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah. At least we won't have to do too many punishment shots tonight because there's not much left. But where would you rate this on our Thirsting Goal ratings of scotches, bourbons, ryes, and cognacs?
You know, I would rate this at an 8, only because I didn't expect those flavors and that complexity in this particular scotch. You know, I actually expected a little bit more, you know, peatiness, maybe a little bit more smokiness, but you know, the citrusy notes, the floral notes, the biscuitiness on the nose, it's actually way more complex than I expected.
Yeah, for what it is, I'm going to give it a 9, because of the price point. For that price point, if it were $200, I probably wouldn't give it a 9.
No,
but at $40, whatever it was, $40-$50,
yeah, around $40, yeah.
You know, with the salty profile, with the beautiful vanilla and the citrus in there, the creaminess, but for me, primarily that nice salty, I mean, just that nice salty flavor, especially on the, you know, on the middle of my tongue, I really like it. I'm going to give it a 9.
Wow, that is high praise, Ben.
Yeah, it's like a hybrid Islay.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are some flavors there. It doesn't really knock you in the face with the peatiness and the smokiness.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's there. I mean, it's on the tongue. It's lingering on the tongue. You can tell that it is from one of the islands there.
But I also buy salted chocolate, salted caramel.
Yeah,
I just like
sea
that
salt. You know,
in my both with my sweets and with my, you know, sours. I just like that the salt that complements you know, something that you wouldn't expect it to complement.
Sweet and sour together is always a good mix.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, Friday, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our beer of the week. Is it? Yeah, I didn't look at the agenda. I just figured it would be.
It is our beer.
Since we've been
doing
this for 122 episodes, I figured this was next up on.
I'm going to mix it up next week. It's going to be NFL news, brown taste.
Yeah, I know, right?
Brown tasting. Then the feel-good story.
The now retired big board, right?
The retired big board.
And tonight we have, from Avery Brewing, the El Gos, we have a session sour ale with limes and sea salt, Ben.
Oh, another salt.
Oh, man,
another
can't wait to try that.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day tomorrow with all this salt intake. All right, hold tight. We'll be right back with our beer taste
Drink
of the
H2O.
Week.
All right, and we are back with our beer of the week. We've poured it out in our glasses, Ben. It is the El Gos from Avery Brewing from Boulder, Colorado, at 4.5% alcohol. Ben, I'm sure you have some information for us.
I do. This is the El Gos from the Avery Brewing Company, a timeless traditional tart. With its zesty and salty disposition, is brightened by a tangy citrus twist, inspired by love for a certain beachside brew. With lime sipped by the salty oceanside, El Gos is the love child of a Mexican lager and a German Gos. A 500-year-old beer style originating from the small town of Leipzig, Germany. Interesting. Mm-hmm. The traditional Gos has a hint of salinity.
Better call salinity.
Walter. From the salty Gos River. And a spark of tart from spontaneous fermentation. Too many shots. Yeah, our El Gos pays homage to the Gos tradition by adding sea salt and lime for a tart and refreshing sour ale, a beer for every day. The description, sour, sessionable, and citrusy. The malt varieties are acidulated wheat and two row, and the yeast varieties are London ale. Interesting. And they even give you a homebrew recipe if you wanted to make this at home. They give you the grist, the hops, the spices, and the yeast, and the post-fermentation adjusting.
That's
interesting.
Pretty interesting, man. I mean, they're giving you that information right there.
So if we like this, we might have to make one of these.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we might have to try some more. Did they have other varieties at Total Wine at the Avery?
I believe they did.
Or we could tweak it and make it the El Frane. All right, what made you pick this one?
I just saw that it was a sour ale, and we've enjoyed the sour ales recently on the show, Ben. I mean, 6 weeks now? I don't know, 6 weeks, maybe three or four of those have been, you know, these sour ales, and we've enjoyed every single one, and so I just wanted to try this one and see how this one tastes.
Yeah, I mean, these are really nice, almost like not like the Rattlers, but in that same sort of
They have a lightness spirit to them, but then they have like that refreshing sort of crispness on the finish on most of them with that nice sour finish. It's a pretty interesting flavor on the palate. I would want a little bit more crispness. Yeah, just a little bit.
You want to give it a sniff?
Yeah, let's give it a little bit of a sniff. Cheers to you, Ben.
Oh, it smells nice and refreshing.
Yeah, but it's almost like weedy. I mean, there's like a lot of weediness in there.
A little wheat with the citrus.
Yeah,
nice little salty nose.
Mm-hmm. I'm not getting the lime.
Almost a little briny
on the nose. I mean, it's citrusy, but I'm not getting like that lime. It's almost like
a little briny weediness.
Almost like grapefruity. I don't know. It's a little bit. Well, cheers to you, Ben, again.
Let's do it.
Let's give us a taste. And there's not too much head. I mean, it looks like it's almost flat.
And it is. But it tastes nice.
Yeah, it's actually very, very refreshing. You can taste the lime. The lime is much more pronounced.
Oh, my God. You could pound these.
Yeah, I mean, the lime is very pronounced. It's only 4.5% alcohol. You know, it's almost like drinking a lime juice almost.
This is really good and very dangerous.
Yeah, you can actually drink a lot of these, but there's that lime, and there's also just a little bit of that little tinge of salt on the finish as
it's
well.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah. And it has the...
Salt is an underrated ingredient in alcohol.
It's like fine carbonation, though. I mean, there's not a lot of head on it, but you can really, you know, it tickles the back of your throat when it goes down.
It tickles my throat. Mm-hmm. Wait, actually, it's German, right? Oi, it tickles my throat. Not even close.
That's like the same accent with a lower pitch in your voice.
Do a German accent. Say it tickles my throat with a German accent.
Yeah, it tickles my throat.
See, there you go. I can't do that. I can't do that.
It is very tickly.
I have one accent and it's my own.
Klaus, what do you think? Klaus, do you like this one? Yeah, this is very good. Yeah.
It's like those two characters from Family Guy. Like the two Swedish guys.
Get your wife over here. What does your wife think about this one?
You take it to the beer garden, yes?
Yeah, let's take your BMW to the beer garden. Take a Mercedes.
No Peugeot, that's from France.
No, we don't deal with the French cars over here.
Yeah, so what do they make? They make BMW. What else do they make over there?
Mercedes.
Which one is
Porsche?
Mercedes, Porsche. Which one's in England?
Rover.
Well, they make the Land. No, they don't make the Land Rover. What do they make? They make the
MG.
Oh, they make the Aston Martin, right?
Yeah, Aston. Well,
Aston Martin.
I think it's owned by Ford now, but yeah.
Is it? Wait, so they don't make any cars in the UK?
They do. I'm sure they have...
But nothing that anyone will buy.
Jaguar.
Wait, Jaguars is from the UK?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Friday's like, well, he's a car guy, so he's like, how do you not know this?
Yeah, McLaren.
I'm like, I know Tesla. And Honda. That's
they
it.
Make every single car that I would never buy because their reliability is terrible.
I know Tesla and I know Honda. And that's like the limit of my, and Toyota. That's like the limit of my expertise on cars.
Well, you know, reliable. I mean, those are all reliable cars, unlike British vehicles. But
The German cars are beefy and
Volkswagen,
they feel like
they
a substantive
Volkswagen,
car.
Although we, you know, they source basically all their, I mean, all the Volkswagens are pretty much made in Mexico and Brazil. So
are they really?
Well, I mean, except for the European market.
Oh, I guess along with the Fords. Oh, but that's really good.
That's a good beer. That is a good beer. I mean, this is like you said, but I mean, this is something that you could like.
It's nice.
You could just pound these all day long and enjoy the flavor and get, you know,
enjoy the flavor, dude.
Just get messed up and not even realize it because it's so easy to drink.
But it's got a nice citrus, got a nice salty finish.
I just wish it had a little bit more of that beery sort of flavor. I mean,
any beer flavor at all.
I'm not saying it's like one of those like what is it Truly or like what are those like white claws or anything like that. It's not not exactly that.
White claws are
it has more flavor than that, but I just wish it had a little bit more hop or something to it that reminds you that this is a beer because it's almost too easy to drink. That you don't realize they're getting drunk while you drink it.
This is for like people that don't want to go completely like one like all the way douche and get to the White Claw. To like give me something that actually comes in a can that looks like a beer can.
Like, but it's good.
White Claw is brutal.
Yeah, you know it's like you drink three cans, you're like, oh fuck, man, I'm kind of buzzing.
Yeah, and then you also feel terrible.
You feel shit
while you're drinking it, and the next afterwards, and the next day.
Well, I mean, you feel terrible because your masculinity is gone.
Like, That's true.
You're like, I'm not a man anymore. I'm drinking these like, you know, my penis is turning into a vagina slowly.
Get me a Zima.
As I drink these.
Good Lord, get me a Zima, please. That's a step up from this White Claw.
Yeah, but I mean, this one, I just wish I had a little bit more of you know, something to remind you that it is a beer, but the flavor that it's coming through, because it is an actual beer, it's pretty interesting. I mean, I wish maybe it was a little bit more sour. Not just a little bit more sourness.
I like it.
I mean, there's a lot of lime. I was just hoping for maybe a little more sour, you know, sort of notes that don't taste so limey.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, but I like it though.
You have the can?
Yeah, right here.
No, the other one, the one
that's
cold.
Open? Oh, you're going to pour some in there. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So, yeah. There you go.
You want some more?
Nope. I'm good.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go through a complete gender reassignment tonight, apparently. This is actually really...
Well, you do.
This is really... It's really good.
Yeah, no, it's don't get me wrong. It's a good beer.
If it were...
Oh, sorry, it's coming up on me.
If it were 25 degrees colder, I would say... I would not be as into this beer as I am.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's true. This is a perfect hot weather beer. And, well, I mean, right
now... And we're finishing the show pretty soon, and we're wearing short sleeves.
It's 11:30, and yeah, we're still wearing short sleeves. It's 70 degrees outside right now as we speak, and it's not even May.
Ah, so what would you rate this, Ronnie, in our Thirsty Gold beer
scale? I would still rate it an 8. You know, I know I've been talking
about
it.
After you just insulted.
I know, but I'd still, you know, I would definitely order this. If I saw this on the menu, I would order this at a restaurant. This is a good beer. I'm sure a lot of people would enjoy this. I just, you know, wish it had a little bit more beeriness. I mean, it's not the maybe not the best sour ale that we've had, but it's still an enjoyable sour ale.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 7 just because it doesn't, I mean, it's more of a beverage to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good. I like it a lot.
I like it. I like it a lot.
More in sort of like the beverage category, like the Orangina, the Fanta. Yeah. Like it almost
tastes like that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting.
But it is nice.
Alcohol in there. You don't really taste the alcohol. You just get those flavors coming through, you know? It's, you know, the nice, tight sort of carbonation in it. You know, it doesn't have a lot of head on it, but once you drink it down, it really pinches your throat.
Yeah. And you don't want to order too many. I mean, I could just think of us being on vacation and going to a bar in the middle of the day for lunch and thinking, mm-hmm. okay, we're just going to have a couple of these and then go and walk for another 6 hours. Don't do that with these because you'll have 3 or 4 or 5 of these and you'll ruin the rest of your day because they're so easy to drink.
Very, too easy.
Yeah. In the middle of the day, get yourself a nice Pilsner, something that you know is a beer so that you could continue upon your trek.
Yeah, because 4.5%, that'll, you know, drink a few of these and that'll get messed up.
I just feel like I could drink this as easily as, you know, orange juice or anything else.
Yeah. It's good. It's good.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I didn't expect that, actually. I expect a little bit more beer flavor, but it's still good.
I expected a little more beer flavor from this
from
this beer that we're drinking. All right, Franny, anything else to add about the beer of the week?
Nothing else to add, Ben.
All right, on Franny's home ownership episode, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our housekeeping to finish up the show. I'll have a little bit of housekeeping to myself.
Yeah,
pretty
you
soon.
Will. I'm guessing that the housekeeping will be done by your mother for some period of time.
She can come over anytime while I'm at work.
You'll have to pick her up and bring her over there.
Yeah, Uber.
You gotta feed her.
No. She wouldn't like whatever I cook up.
Oh, she might. You might start cooking, and then she'd be like, you know what? Why have I been doing this all these years? I like it way better when someone does it for me.
Hey, seriously, though, I mean, like, most of my food will still come from home. Like, I'm still going to go to my parents. I'm still be like, hey, guys, whatever you're eating, I'll eat that to save some money, for sure.
You'll be, like, swinging by to get dinner and then go home.
Yeah.
It'll be, like, the perfect life. Like, you go from work to your parents' house to eat dinner. You'll be like Raymond. Yeah. You go to your parents' house to eat dinner. Then you go home and do whatever the hell you want. Then you go to work.
My aunt is right down the street, too. I mean, she's literally right down the street. And so I can always pick up something from my aunt, too. So, you know, I'm sure she always has something cooking in the kitchen.
Everybody loves Franny. And the food, but the food is just as good. All right, everyone. We are a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. Please head to our website at thirstygold.buzzsprout.com. From there, you can subscribe and listen to all of our past episodes. You can check out the show notes and get links to all of the stories that we cover, all of the browns, the bourbons, the scotches, the cognacs, all of the browns that we review, as well as the beers. You get links to all the podcatchers in the universe. Download the episodes to listen later. That would be awesome. Leave a review. Friday, how many stars?
5 stars only, Ben.
5 stars. Just please bash it, crush it, throw it up against the wall, slam it into the corner of your house, whatever you have to do. Please just leave us a 5-star review. You can email us at podcastthirstygold@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Franny's amazing Instagram account. Now that he has his own place, his own house, he'll be sending out all sorts of photographs of the beers in advance. If he's going to take selfies inside Total Wine and put them, he's going to be like, this is what I'm picking up tonight.
That's going to happen.
At Thirst Hand. And you can check us out on Twitter at Goal Thirst. But seriously, folks, we truly appreciate you listening each and every week. We love all of you. And on this NFL draft weekend, we have a little bit of excitement knowing that the season is getting closer and closer.
Exactly, Ben.
All right, Franny, anything else to add before we...
Nothing else to add except thank you so very much, everybody out there, for listening.
Yes, thank you all, and we'll see you next week.